Toby and Anthony Show, 1027 WNEW.
And we're back with the O&A Show. I have Kid Chris on the line, Anthony.
Oh, yeah?
He's from KXOA.
Right.
KXOA. KXOA.
Yeah, they want you to emphasize the X.
One of the stations we're on in Sacramento, California. And he emailed me this OJ prank call tape. It's hilarious. Let's get him on the line. Kid Chris. Hey, Kid.
What's up? O to the is A?
Do you like being called Kid or Kid Chris?
Nah, it doesn't matter. You can just call me Chris, Kid, whatever.
He's also friends with our buddy Scorch, Anthony.
Scorch, Kingdom Iniquity. Totally Nude Radio. Hey, douche your dressing.
You know, I worked with Scorch for a long-ass time up in Syracuse.
Yeah?
Yeah, I got a funny story about Scorch, actually. He was like the PD for a while, you know?
Yeah.
And I was on in the morning at the time.
Wait, slow down. He was the PD up there in Syracuse for a while?
For a little while, yeah.
PD, on a PD.
Imagine him, he used to, you know, he'd sit down the jocks and tell him what to do and what not to do.
Oh, wow. You're making Ben lose his mind. Ben loves Scorch. Loves Scorch stories.
Oh, no, here's a funny Scorch story. He was, I was working in the morning at the time. And we're on the radio talking about how he's the, you know, the boss and all that stuff and how he's giving us a hard time. And he had the windows on his Jeep slashed because of that.
Really?
Yeah, somebody whacked his Jeep.
Nice. So, Kid, you're on after us in Sacramento?
Yeah, it's 7 o'clock.
Right on. What's the buzz out there in Sacramento?
Man, you know, I'll tell you, the station is huge. I mean, I think. It's the hottest one in town because this is the way radio right now, you know?
Yeah.
You know, and when all this stuff's going down, like last week with the terrorist attacks and stuff, this station's the only one being real, you know? Everybody else is playing their music and their top 8 at 8 and all that crap, and nobody's, you know.
Getting the lead out.
Yeah.
Mandatory Metallica.
Yeah, just the phoniness, pretend like nothing's happening, you know?
We had a bunch of stations in New York do exactly that, and we're not even 2 miles from the disaster area.
Yeah, it's sickening.
So you emailed me about an OJ prank call tape.
Yeah, I did this a while ago. We got, you know, it pays when you're in radio. It pays when you got people that have regular jobs, you know, the real jobs.
Yeah.
Listening, because like a guy that worked for one of the cell phone companies looked up OJ's cell phone number in his database or whatever and got me the number.
Oh,
years ago, man.
You're bringing back a memory. Ant and I, the exact same thing happened to us when we were up in Boston. We can't name who it was. We had one of the Boston Celtics cell phone. No, what was it? Pager?
His messaging service.
His messaging service. And we got the codes. We got to check out everyone calling this superstar.
You listened to his messages?
Dude, it was the only thing we did to prepare for our show in Boston. We'll admit it now. We would spend, what, Anthony, a half hour every day going through all the messages. Real estate agents trying to find a house for this guy.
Hey, baby, I hear you're going to be in.
I'm heading to that. So you had the real estate agencies trying to find a house. You had the car dealers going, hey. One car dealer was pissed off because the guy did not return the car. It was like 3 months overdue.
Right.
Man.
Then you had a gaming company saying, hey, we're working on a blah, blah game with, you know.
His coach called him.
With PlayStation.
Too.
We got the coaches calling him.
Did girls leave their numbers on there?
That's the
90% of it was chicks.
Chicks from all over America.
All over the country.
There's booties in every city.
And they all thought they were the one. It was hilarious.
So did
I hear
you're
going to be in Los Angeles this week. Why don't you give me a call?
you had girls calling from every city.
Did you call the girls at all?
We didn't make any calls.
No, because we didn't want to mess it up. We had this number for months, and we just figured
who was it?
If we effed with it too much, we would, you know, we would screw ourselves.
Who was it?
And we can't say. He's still up there, man.
So? It's not like we did anything with it.
What's the matter, O?
What was that?
It was Walker.
What?
I didn't say nothing.
Hey, Twan. That?
So drunk girls calling from all over America in the middle of, like, clubs and stuff. And then you get the ones that are really pissed off because they thought they were the only one.
Right.
Oh, man. It was some of the best stuff, and we couldn't put any of it on the radio.
I know. Doesn't that suck?
We would have got screwed.
I know, but that sucks. It's kind of like one of those things where you think it over. How can I get away with this? How can I do this?
I thought you were special. I thought you were special. I thought you were a real man.
Yeah. You're nothing but a little boy.
You're nothing but, you're telling a guy making millions upon millions of dollars that he's a little boy.
Yeah.
Like he cares.
That's great.
Then he had his homies calling. It was, oh.
Any dirt?
God,
did you get any
great.
Dirt?
No, well, just the women that, you know. That,
oh, we wanted to hear, you know, something big.
Was he married or anything?
No.
Yeah.
Married man, I got your stuff. You know, something
yeah,
like that.
Right.
Right.
Never heard
no,
that.
No, we never heard any of that stuff, but it was great to hear these women, man. Anyway, so this guy gave you OJ's cell phone number?
Yeah, he came up to me at one of my bar remotes and gave me the number and... he didn't tell me what it was at first, so I went home and called it like on a Sunday morning, and he kept answering the phone. I'm sitting here, I kept calling him, and I couldn't recognize the voice. And he's all like, "Hello, who is this?" And I'm like, "Who are you?" And then, like, the next day he called me and told me who it was, and then we started this thing on the air. We called every hour for like a week straight, and we had people guess how long before he would disconnect the number.
Now, that's a good bit, my friend. That's,
yeah, and,
that's much better than doucher dressing.
Scorch comes up with some good stuff. I wish like he wouldn't go on the radio. I wish he'd just email me the ideas.
Yeah, doucher dressing. Doucher dressing.
So you called OJ. I mean, just hysterical
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, the montage there is like my favorite. I have other ones, too, I'll send you guys, too.
Really?
We are huge OJ fans.
Oh, who isn't?
I mean, anytime, Chris, that OJ's in the news, don't you just go, oh, God, I got to read every word
exactly.
of the article. I love
it. Stupid. And
yeah.
he's such a phony, too, because he phony laughs everything off, and you'll hear that in the
call. Phony laughs stuff off. We love it, though. We love reading in the paper. My favorite post-murder article about OJ has to be when he was breaking into his girlfriend's house to steal the audio tapes on the answering machine he left threatening messages.
It's like, "Hi, you bitch, I'm going to slit your throat if you... Uh-oh. Okay. Look, I'm going to break into your house, but please don't call the police."
Or the 911 tapes.
Those are classic.
Yeah, where he's throwing that other dude under the bus.
He sold out Pedro Guerrero.
No, she's with Pedro Guerrero. He was caught with a kilo of cocaine.
Do we have the P-E-D.
Do we have the Pedro Guerrero one?
Sold him down the river, man. He has a guy that killed two people, and he's worried about Pedro Guerrero.
Yeah.
Our OJ prank call tape thing is hilarious. If we can find the short version, we'll play it today.
And then when OJ called up 911, he's telling her about how the girlfriend took off, and the 911 goes, "Are there any weapons or anything?" He goes,
"No, no, 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 not this time.
No, 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 no."
He is killer, man, literally and figuratively.
So
Kid Chris from KXOA out there in Sacramento, he gave us the montage.
Yeah.
It's about almost 2 minutes long, and it's really, we were laughing so hard, we played it about 10 times in the
It's you calling OJ, and
yeah.
it's really funny, man. Check
All right,
it out.
Let's check this out.
Yeah.
Oh, Juice?
Yeah.
Yeah, what are you doing?
Who's this?
This is AC. Let's go kill somebody tonight.
Hi.
Juice?
Yeah, hello.
OJ.
Who's this?
It's Al Michaels. My wife's been acting like a real bitch. I was wondering if you could help me kill her. What do you say, champ?
Do I know you? Hey!
Juice, it's Chris Rock! It's me, Chris Rock, Juice! What do you say you and I go kill the Spice Girls? Juice, every time I call you, I always be laughing.
Hello?
Juice, you're late. We're supposed to go out and kill people tonight. What's going on?
I really can't talk. I'm at dinner with a bunch of people, and I have no idea who you are.
I'm the real killer, OJ. Oh, hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, Juice.
Yeah?
Juice, what's up?
Who is this?
It's Dan Deardorff. You want to go throw the ball around, you know, have some beers, maybe kill somebody?
Yeah.
Hi, OJ, it's Cato.
Hey,
Well, I want to go pick up some young girls and kill them. We can hold them underwater or something.
Gotta go.
Can I move in with you?
Hello?
Hi, OJ.
Hey.
Hey, it's Marcus Allen. Want to go get some bitches and kill them?
God. And there you have it. Kid Chris, that's God, hilarious. Oh my God.
That is so funny.
Chris,
you want to go get some girls and kill them?
Bravo, Chris.
Thanks, bro.
And you, I know exactly what you're talking about that fake OJ laugh.
Yeah. you got me, guys.
He's laughing. I killed two people and I'm out.
You're next, Cracker Boy.
Yeah.
You better not have no caller ID, man.
OJ, yeah,
come,
that's
and get you, come and get you.
Man, you made our day with that.
Yeah, yeah, very good.
Thank
man.
You.
Good. Thank you, bro.
We're getting requests to put that on our website. Is that cool?
Yeah, I mean, those are ancient. I got those, too, if anybody... I mean, I got others I'll send you, too. I've got, we would bring girls in the studio, you know, because he loves the women.
Right.
Yeah.
And we would have girls call him and try to hook up with him and stuff, and then... And then, you know, at the end, he'd be all like, well, I can't right now. I got to go do it. And he'd be, oh, please, I don't want you to get mad and kill me.
Well, is any OJ-related stuff.
Always welcome.
Yes.
All right.
We'll put that clip on our website, foundrymusic.com. We'll give you the plug and stuff.
Cool, bro.
Do you have an email address or something we can put on there?
Yeah, well, kidchris@AOL.com.
Look at you. You got the kidchris@AOL.com.
Word. Nice. Two D's, extra D for dollars.
Someone else out there has kidchris583 because you have the original one.
Yeah, well, good.
All right. Cool. We'll put it on the website, and we'll put your email and all that.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thanks, kid.
All right, man. See ya.
Kid Chris from KXOA. He's on us in Sacramento. That's funny stuff.
That is funny.
We'll put that on foundrymusic.com, F-O-U-N-D-R-Y, music.com. Is it up there ready?
Yo, juice. I love that. Yeah, who is this? Should I go kill some chicks? I gotta go. I'm having dinner with people I plan on killing later. Could you not call me?
Steve already put it up there.
Oh, great. So check it out on Foundry
Music. It gets funnier the more you hear it.
Yeah.
We heard it at least 10 times.
Great.
We had the OJ 911 crank call bit.
Yeah.
All right, we'll play this as we go to break. We'll be back. Is OJ putting out a prank call tape? Is that what's going on here?
The best of OJ.
Right.
I call 911 around the country. Get my 911 comedy tape. OJ calls 911.
Hello, 911?
911 operator.
Is your refrigerator running now?
Yes, it is.
Well, you better catch it. 911?
911, what's your emergency?
Hello, do you have Prince Albert in a can?
What do you mean?
Do you have Prince Albert in a can?
Yes, we do.
Well, you better let him out before he suffocates. Comedy tape. Order yours now.
He's a man.
Hello, is this 911?
Yes.
Do you have 10-pound balls?
Yes, we do.
How do you walk? You just get the best of OJ Simpson. I gotta go now. I gotta find her.
He's all concerned. Man, is he bored, huh?
Oh, man.
I was hoping he would do the famous butt plug prank call.
Hello, 911?
Yes.
I'm looking for Michael Hunt. Is he there? He goes by the name of Mike. Laugh along with your favorite murderer, OJ. 911?
Yes?
Butt plug.
Bug box?
Butt plug.
What are you looking for?
Butt plug. Butt plug. Don't make me cut your throat, mother...
Does OJ do any, like, character voices on his prank call tape, kind of like the Jerky Boys?
I'll come down there with my toolbox. I'll bash your head in with a ratchet or a knife. I'm OJ. Oops, I just cut myself on a piece of foam rubber. I better fly to Chicago.
Oh, man.
That's the OJ Simpson 911 comedy tape. Order yours now.
1027. The Opie and Anthony Show. WNEW. The Opie and Anthony Show. 1027. WNEW.
Hey, you're checking out the Opie and Anthony Show. Look who's in the studio, Anthony.
Yes.
Tenacious D.
It's true, it's true. It's the D in his A.
They just did TRL, and look, we're next.
How'd that go for you?
I feel all dirty.
Yeah?
TRL. You know, last night we played in Cleveland, and at the end we announced we were going to be on TRL. Everyone booed.
There was hisses and
they're like, boo.
I wonder why.
Apparently, it's not really heavy metal to do.
I don't think it's the cool
It's not like the coolest thing
it's
to do.
Not the cool
well, you're not a boy band. That's the problem.
I know. We went on right after O-Town.
Yeah.
And then one of the dudes from NSYNC. Yeah. And then the D. What's wrong with the picture?
I looked outside at Times Square looking for the girls screaming.
Yeah, because they got the girls out there screaming with signs and everything.
Yeah, like, where the hell were they?
Yeah, where were they?
We rolled up on TRR. We rolled up and got out of the car.
You know
and
what?
There was like a momentary excitement and then until they realized, oh, it's no one.
Oh,
it's no one.
Oh, nobody's in there. Nobody's in there.
I thought you guys said you had a lot of groupies.
Dude, we do. And it was a very poor showing. And all the D fans out there, I'd like to scold you. Where were you? You didn't have our backs, peeps. You didn't have our backs.
Were you able to hang with Carson?
We parted with Carson.
Yeah?
Yeah, we put the hammer down.
I hear he gets a lot of the girls.
Is that true?
What? Yeah, that's what I see.
You know what does it? It's a space between his teeth. It drives him nutso. I guess. I got one, too.
Flick between that, I guess.
Did you get to read cue cards with Carson?
No, man. I don't look at cue cards.
No, we just went off the cuff. You know, he was riffing.
We're flying off the handle.
Carson was riffing today. Nice.
Yeah. Stop it.
He's like a robot.
he was like a robot statue.
I was doing cartwheels and stuff, flipping around him, and he just kept on talking, just like nothing was happening.
Yeah,
full
exactly.
Robotron 5000. That dude's rad.
I hear if somebody, like, you shoot him in the shoulder, you see a bunch of metal, and then it slowly comes back together, and it looks really cool. And he could run, and his arms turn into these big hammer things. They could pry elevators apart.
Yeah. He's the Carson
West
1000.
World. The Carson 1000.
Yep.
Love that.
Well,
I'm glad you had fun there.
Hey, he started looking around a little bit.
Yeah.
You got a very evil look, my friend.
You just focus.
I have a darting...
What are you focusing on over
evil
there?
Evil stare.
I call him Wolfen.
The Wolfen.
Wolfen.
I don't know. I'm just looking around. I'm scoping it out. I'm checking out the territory.
Mm.
So how did you guys become the greatest band of all time?
I see you're
they call
laughing.
Themselves the greatest.
Aren't you supposed to say the self-proclaimed?
Oh, they're
before
the,
that, like
they're the greatest.
Even Michael Jackson got the self-proclaimed king of pop because he made that up for himself.
They beat out Styx and, you know, Jethro Tull and stuff.
So. Dude, honestly, I've never said that we are. No, it's just the historians and it's popular opinion we're the best. Whatever. It's true.
I'm not going to deny it.
Mm. How did we become it?
Yeah. How did you it's become
the something,
greatest?
It's not something you can cultivate, buddy. I know. If I had the secret, I'd bottle it. I'd give it to you. And I'd say give it out for free so everyone can be the best. We live in a better world of best people.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, I can't. And it's just us, and we're alone up here at the tippity-top of the choppermost. And it's cold, and it's lonely up here. No one to talk to with the brains and the power and the might of the D.
Hey, you're scaring everybody.
I know. Hey. All of a sudden, there's crickets.
Here's the way they can. I'm in the group,
now.
And I'm frightened.
I'm sorry, Rich. No, dude, you're up here, too. Slightly lower on another mountain peak, though.
Give us the abbreviated version of the Tenacious D story.
Rage, you take this one.
Well, I was cruising Santa Monica Boulevard.
This was in the early days.
Just driving around late at night.
I needed money.
And I don't know, I saw a young man look like he needed some mentoring.
Yeah. He pulled over and I said, "Hey man, what's up? You want to spend some time?" And he was like,
"On a date?"
And he was like, "No, I don't want any of that. I just want to teach you the ways of rock." And he took me under his wing.
Yeah.
And he's been riding my coattails ever since. Did I say coattails?
Coattails.
I meant coattails.
Yeah, we're coining a new phrase.
We're going to let it go. You know, no one really knows.
That's a classic Obi-Wan Luke story right there.
It is.
Exactly. It's the hero's journey.
And now you got an album.
Yeah.
You just called it Tenacious D, though. Couldn't you come up with a witty title for
it? We were thinking Grammy time.
Yeah. Grammy
time? But then we bailed on that.
Yeah?
What else were we thinking?
Destroyer.
Yeah, because then it would be Destroyer.
Ah.
We were thinking it could have been. What
Thank
else
God you clarified. They weren't going to clue into that for quite a while. No. That was going to take a while.
I wanted it to be called Mollish.
Demolish.
Hey. Very good.
What else? We had some other one. Time for my breakfast.
Time for my breakfast.
Named, of course, after the Chuck Berry legendary secret video that no one's seen.
All right.
It was time for my breakfast. And then that someone right in his mouth.
Oh, Chuck.
How about just call it O?
O-D. Tenacious.
Wait, that's
D-O.
Not bad.
O.
D-O.
Oh, Dio. Yeah.
Dio.
What you're saying.
Well, they have a song about Dio on the album.
Dio. We were thinking about an alternate name for our band would be Standing O.
Standing O.
I want to party with these guys.
All right.
Dude, you should.
You're out of your effing minds, man.
Yeah, drinking that Evian. Ooh, look out.
Dude, yeah, can I have a cup of that, dude? My pipes are roasted.
Let's go to Jason. Jason, what's up?
What's up, guys?
Talking to Tenacious D.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to know if you guys had any plans to do any more HBO shows or if you're going to do a movie or anything.
An oft-asked question, Jason.
No more HBO shows. I don't know.
Yeah, what happened with HBO?
Well, they were like
had a little problem with you.
We did the episodes and they were shredding and people were being blown away and then they were like, "Yeah, let's do a real show. Let's do a full-time show." And it'll be like the D'Pranos. And we're like, yeah, let's do it. Let's party now. And they said, only one little switcheroo. You guys just go write the songs and we'll get a staff together to tell you what to do like puppets on a string like the monkeys. And we said, no. And then they said, well, then bail. And we said, we will. And we walked.
They came back with some more dough, though.
But now I think if we went back,
they came back with some more dough.
They did, actually.
They'd probably party with us now. But
we're working on the Tenacious D motion picture.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
why would you go back?
In 2004, that's going to come out.
Yeah, I see a guitar. I don't want to. I think some people are letting out Taliban messages
no,
in these conversations. No one's doing
tell.
That. Because I know that Colin Powell's upset that maybe some videos that have been out have been giving away these Taliban messages to terrorists.
Well, Jack does have a Timex watch.
You're not doing anything like that? Because that last caller that seemed to really enjoy you guys, I don't know what he was even talking about.
Buddy, that's a welcome to the D, land of the D.
You
people talking in gibberish.
Paranoid, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, everyone's paranoid these days, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Come on. What are you talking about, my Timex? What does that have to do with the Taliban?
Well, which one does he wear? The Iron Man. The Iron Man.
Bin Laden wears the Timex Iron Man watch.
Oh man!
Oh, that's right.
Sales are going through the roof.
Who doesn't want that now?
I don't know.
The terrorist watch.
I'll get that in a white Bronco and we'll party.
I'm just bummed because I lost my G-Shock somewhere on the tour, and that was my lucky magical G-Shock watch.
Someone,
if there's a listener out there, please send it in.
Hey Chris, what do you got?
Basically, I want to know, when are we going to see the D at some bigger places? They are the greatest rock and roll band of all time.
Where do you live?
Jersey.
Jersey? Where do the Jersey Giants play?
Giant Stadium.
That's where we're playing, dude. All right. We'll see you there. It'll be you.
That's what we're waiting for.
And that's it. But it'll be big.
When are you going to play Giant Stadium?
We don't have it. It's not on the schedule at this point. Yeah.
But it'll happen, right?
When I don't know. Is anyone in there right now? Let's go.
Nick, what's going
just
on?
Just play
yo,
right
what's
now.
What's up, guys?
Hey.
Yo, D, what's going on? This is the third show I'm going to see you guys. I saw you guys at the Bowery, then we drove up to, place in Boston, Avalon.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to see you at the Electric Factory. I got to tell you something. The evolution of D, the first show that we saw you at, it was like a big sword fight.
Yeah.
Then there were hundreds and thousands of backstage Bettys at the last show in Boston. I am psyched for the Philly show.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see all the Hoochie Mama and Poons over there.
That's funny because it only holds 1,000 people. There's 100,000 Bettys trying to get into the backstage area.
Sounds good to me.
We've done studies and our audience is 91% sausage.
Yeah.
So I find it fascinating.
And there's 8% donuts and then there's 1% strange mutants. We don't know what they are.
No. Yo, you guys rule, man.
All right, Nick.
Take care.
I want to hear a song. I see the guitar.
You want us to bust off a chunk?
Yeah,
I would love to.
Bust off a chunk.
I'll do it. Hook us up. Rage, you play the guitar. I'll
play the guitar.
I'll be in charge of the vocal stylings.
All right, what are you guys going to play today?
This is our second single off the album. It's actually the hidden track.
Which is the first single? Effort Gently?
No. Well, ooh, you're right. This is the third single. Effort Gently was the first one. Did you see that cartoon we did?
No, I missed it.
TenaciousD.com, dude. Check it out.
Okay.
All right. It's called Malibu Nights. Is that in tune? Good. No, that's not in tune.
Way to go.
I'm going to try another good
There's some sour notes.
All right.
You would think the greatest band of all time would be,
prepared with tuned guitars and stuff.
I mean, got one right there.
Is he your roadie or your guitar tech?
Dude, the dude is magical.
He's magical?
I think cause I think.
Okay. Uh oh.
Malibu. All right. Is it? How's that sound?
Malibu nights, tangerine dreams, Malibu days, Malibu dreams, Malibu, taking the poo, a stanky poo, looking at you, because it's time for my breakfast, it's time for some cheese, it's time for the steak, time for the breeze, time for my ease.
Thank you. That was just...
Yeah.
Way to put in the effort there. All right.
It sounded weird, dude. I think you were playing in a different key.
Yeah, I was playing in the wrong key.
You were playing that one? Dude, it's not out of tune. Joe Beebe, your job is safe. This dude, I thought. I was like way up
in the
middle
really
of all
played
time.
The secret track.
Really high notes.
All right. Matt, what's going on? That is the secret track. You're right. Matt, what's up?
Hey, what's up, D?
What up, dude?
Yo, how'd you guys get hooked up with Dave Grohl on the album?
We was playing pinball in an arcade, and then he was like, let me get in on that game. And I said, you can, but if we win, then you play on the album. And he said, no prob, and we shredded his ass off.
Oh,
that's not true. Yeah. We actually met him at the Viper Room. Wait, did he get hung up on?
He just hung up.
He hung up on himself.
He didn't want that to not be true. So after he heard it, he was like, rock! And now he's telling everybody that's the story. And now that's the story.
He's got the scoop.
I think he just got so excited, his boner turned off the phone.
It just hit the phone.
That could happen.
Sure. Dan, what's up?
Yo, what's up? You got D in the house, dude?
What's up, Dan? It's
hell
true,
yeah.
Dude.
Hell yeah, dude.
We're not the robot impersonators.
Can you bust out the little karate song over there, dude?
You got it. Let me get it. Let me get it.
Go.
Look it up.
Oh, they're trading off guitars and stuff.
Yeah, sure. Yeah,
dude, can you bleep it if it goes bad?
Bleep it.
Yeah, but then we lose like 8 seconds of the show.
But then you can store up some more seconds at the commercial break.
It's like,
all right, dude.
It's like
all right,
Evo
I
radio.
Will take out all of the cuss words, but it's going to be really lame, and they're going to say sell out. With karate, I kick your ass. Here to Tiananmen Square. Oh, yeah, Mother Hubbard. I'm going to kick your f***ing dairy. Yeah. You broke the rules, and now I pull out all your pubic hair. Your mother Hubbard. Your mother father. Kyle betrayed me, and then he lied, tried to hide, and I died deep inside. And you know the reason why. I'm gonna kick your ass from here to right over there. Oh, yeah, Mother Hubbard, I'm gonna take you. Yeah. Get out the rules. Now I pull out all your pubic hair. Your mother, father.
That's right.
Your mother, father. Oh, yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Put that on the Christmas album.
I like that.
Tenacious D.
Appreciate it.
Hey, Jay, what's up?
How's it going?
All right, we're hanging with Tenacious D.
What's Sweet. Up?
What up?
What up with
hey,
you?
How'd you guys wind up with Paige from Fish?
Paige?
Knock hockey.
Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something about Paige. He invited us to see a show.
Yeah.
Met up with him down there.
Cage went
and
over.
And then about every day he called me. Begging.
Yeah. I knew it.
Like, dude,
I knew it.
Don't you have a gig, another gig to do?
Yeah, didn't you guys, Cage, you went into the bus, didn't you, on the Fish bus?
I really did. I mean,
what was going down in there, man?
So it was like the
swear
reverse
to God,
Lee effect.
It was Fran Drescher and a nitrous tank.
No
way. I swear to God.
Dude, Fran Drescher.
And a nitrous, and they were all going nuts.
Sounds like a party.
Is it just really me was. Or Fran? Something about her. I don't know.
Something about that.
Good? You like it?
Yeah. No, there's something bad, but there's also something like, yeah.
I like Fran and the Bobby Fleckman phase of her career.
Oh, dude, those
I'm
are
sure
the final taps.
I'm sure she'd appreciate that.
She was kind of hot in there. And then the nanny stuff was just like, I don't know.
No, I'm not saying I'm down with the show.
Yeah. No,
saying.
I'm not. I'm just talking about her in that time of her life.
Yeah.
I like the Bobby Fleckman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't blame you.
That was hot.
I think she always working on her fanny, though.
She, what? Yeah, she does some fanny exercises, yeah, I heard.
Let's go to Mike. Mike, what's up?
Hey, I just wanted to ask Tenacious D to play the tribute song.
Oh, the tribute
yeah,
song?
Let's just bust out a long song.
No, dude. No, come on. My pipes is roasted. I got to save some for the Philly factory.
Well, I'm going to come
give it,
see
let's
you
just
tomorrow.
Give
you
just the acapella
okay,
part.
All right.
Rich, what are you doing?
I can't just jump in without
well, then
the
just
ad.
Throw in some poopy notes. It doesn't matter. I just don't leave me hanging alone. Sorry, sir. Cage fumbled the ball.
Ah, oh, he left you hanging out there, man.
Yeah.
You put in the effort.
Sass, then.
Can I just say, though, we were here a couple weeks ago.
You're starting to sound like Focus there. Hocus Pocus by Focus.
Is that a band?
I was enjoying that a little
Are they like Bobby McFerrin? Hocus Pocus?
Yeah, a little bit.
You remember Focus by Hocus Pocus?
No.
Yeah, was that old song?
Hocus Pocus by Focus?
No.
What song did they do?
Maybe by...
Yodeling song.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, and then it turned really hard. Yeah, I love that song.
You know, we're looking for D franchises.
Is that it?
Right. Kind of like the Blue Man Group, you know, where you have to play around the company.
Doesn't have to be the Blue Man Group, just a Blue Man Group around. Sure.
Gain some weight, get some
That
guitar.
Would rock.
I'm more of a Stomp fan myself.
Oh, Stomp.
I'm a Stomp.
You know, I heard that Stomp was really awesome, and then I saw some of it on HBO, and I was like, oh, my God, snooze fest. When does the party start, people?
Couldn't sit through it.
It's a live experience.
I think you got to be there live, yeah.
You can really go on TV. You can play with your own brooms at home.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Hey, Jessica.
Hey.
What's up?
How you guys doing?
Rad.
Hanging with Tenacious Day.
Hi, Jack.
How you doing, sweetie?
How you doing?
Real good.
Yeah. Listen, I need your permission.
Yeah? Man, well, let's hear what it is first. I don't know.
Do I get
it?
Dude, quiet. I'm talking to my lady.
All right.
Talking to his number one backstage Betty.
Oh.
Listen, my fiance and I, although I'll give him up for you for a night.
Yeah.
For a night. Listen,
I'll warm you up for him.
We want to use Effervescently for our wedding song.
Really?
No joke. And could you imagine if we stood up there on the dance floor and we played Effervescently?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think
I need your permission to.
I think the rents are going to be a little bummed out about it, but I'm stoked.
I think if I get up there and said, you know, the band gave us permission, we could play it, and then, you know, we'll just tell the grandparents to cover their ears.
We give you our blessing.
Yes.
Thank you, guys. Love you all.
Have a good honeymoon.
Hi, Jessica.
All right. Bye.
Can we play that song?
Yeah. Sure.
You got
the clean version?
Yeah, they cleaned it up a little bit.
A clean version.
The first clean version is the good one.
Yeah, it is? Okay.
Yeah.
This is Tenacious D, F Her Gently.
Awesome. This is a song for the ladies. But fellas, listen closely. You don't always have to fuck her hard. In fact, sometimes that's not right to do. Sometimes you got to make some love and give her some smooches too. Sometimes you got to squeeze. Sometimes you got to say please. Sometimes you got to say I'm gonna fuck you softly. I'm gonna screw you gently. I'm gonna hump you sweetly. I'm gonna ball you discreetly. And then you say, hey, I brought you flowers. And then you say, wait a minute, Sally, I think I got something in my teeth. Could you get it out for me? That's f***ing teamwork. What's your favorite position? That's cool with me. It's not my favorite, but I'll do it for you. What's your favorite dish? I'm not gonna cook it, but I'll order it from Zanzibar. And then I'm gonna love you completely. And then I'll fuck you discreetly. And then I'll bone you completely. But then I'm gonna
Wow, that's kind of sad.
It's touching.
It's very touching. Tenacious D, F Her Gently.
Yes.
The clean version. You buy the CD, you get to hear all that.
It's very tender.
All the real words.
Yeah.
All the potty mouth stuff.
Yeah.
I was just looking. Jack Black in one of my favorite movies of all time, Mars Attacks.
Oh, yeah.
I swear to God, I love that movie.
No, I carried that thing on my shoulders.
You did?
Yeah.
You were the army guy, the soldier guy, went off to fight and got just baked.
I had a good jiggly death at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was kind of.
And you know what the direction, what's his name, that director? Tom Freund? Tim Burton.
Tim Burton.
He told me, he said, can you make it like you're kind of having an orgasm right as you're dying?
I told you that?
All right. That guy's awesome. He's like a mad scientist. He's pretty awesome.
What happened on Planet of the Apes then?
What? I didn't see it. Was it good? Yikers.
You weren't in it.
That's why.
Helena Bonham Carter played Michael Jackson.
That's awesome of her.
Really incredible makeup that they did. I don't know how they recreated that, but somehow they found a way.
And then Waterworld?
Yeah.
Look at that. You got quite the nice little...
I'm the pilot on the plane.
Package, yeah.
Thank you. You like my package?
Yeah, absolutely. Enemy of the State?
Yeah, I was in that.
I still know what you did last summer. Uncredited.
Man. Dude, can you give me... start saying some good ones.
Before you know it.
Hey, I'm sorry.
Never-ending story part
Saving
three,
Silverman.
You're no help, Cage.
The Jackal.
Oh, a stellar career.
Yeah. Ryan's got a good one on the phone. Ryan?
Yeah.
What's up?
Not much. I want to know about that crappy movie where he's like a hockey player or a rollerblade hockey player or something like that.
Airborne.
What was the deal with that movie?
I think you must be confused, man. I was in a masterpiece called Airborne. Man.
Airborne.
Well, why did you watch it then?
I'm like traumatized for life after watching
it. Yeah, why'd you watch it if you didn't like it? Do you have one channel?
I mean,
cable?
No, you got to watch a Jack Black movie. I mean, he's in it. You got to keep watching it. It's like heroin. You know what I'm saying? You got to keep doing it, but it was still a piece of crap. That's the bottom line.
Yeah. It's, you know, I can't take full responsibility. I will take partial responsibility.
All right. How bad could a guy be that's been in the X-Files? God damn it. You were in the X-Files.
That's true. I did.
Bart LaCoury.
I was the friend of the guy who had the power of lightning in his fingers.
Right.
Yeah. And then he zapped me.
And Life Goes On. You played a skinhead.
Oh,
a
man.
A skinhead in Life Goes On.
Dude, I was also in some rad things.
I understand. I just like getting into the obscure things that maybe people don't know. Touched by an Angel.
That's true. I was in
Touched by an Angel.
Northern Exposure.
Northern Exposure.
Thank you, Kyle, again. Thank you.
Hey, you got Punch Up My
Stuff, man.
Punch Up Mine.
Yeah? All right, let me punch yours up here.
There you go, Mr. Computer Man.
I could do that in a second.
Let's see what you got.
All right, I got Jacob's Ladder.
Oh, that's right.
You were in there. Yes. Lewis Black was in that, too. He was... Yes. What'd you play in Jacob's Ladder?
Memorable...
Yes,
were you the little kid that walked up the stairs
at
the end?
That's right, that was me.
You were a gay dude from next door that put Tim Robbins into a bucket of ice.
That's true, I was.
He was also in Dead Man Walking.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
You were in Saving Silverman, of course.
Of course.
And, Biodome, of course.
I was in Legendary Seinfeld.
Seinfeld. I'm looking at the episode of Seinfeld, 1990. You were the smoker.
Yes.
In The Abstinence.
I'm doing my own tour.
Are you?
Yeah.
Your own Seinfeld type tour. That's
make a little extra bread.
Whatever works for you. Yeah. Hey, who got their arm shot off?
That'd be me.
Jack, right?
Yeah. In the Jackal.
In the Jackal.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, thanks, man. It was Sprawl. Yeah.
Evolution? You were in that?
It was pretty cool. You know, we were doing that. We were on a... No, I wasn't in Evolution.
No. Come on.
Oh, I was. Yes,
oh,
I was,
him.
I was guarding. Kyle. I was guarding the big rock thing.
Oh, that was you.
Yeah. And David Duchovny and I smoked out. In the
did you? You smoked some pot?
You and Duchovny?
I saw that one.
Cigarettes.
I saw Evolution. You smoked the cigarettes with it. Yeah. So he does the X-Files. You do, ooh, some kind of a little conspiracy thing there.
Ooh.
He is exciting off camera as he is on. Really.
Thanks, dude.
All right. We got to let these guys go. They're busy, man. Guys.
Thanks for having us.
All right. It's you know, I want to play one of my favorite songs off the new album.
Yeah.
There. Hey, I want to play Wonder Boy.
Yeah.
Oh.
You don't like Wonder Boy?
I love Wonder
Boy. No, I said yeah.
All right. We're going to play Wonder Boy, cool. And we want to thank Jack and Kyle for coming in. It's Tenacious D.
Yes.
Go out and get the album.
Much to say when you're high above the mucky muck.
young nasty man, arch rival and nemesis of Wonder Boy, with powers comparable to Wonder Boy. What powers, you ask? How about the power of flight? Did that do anything for you? Levitation, Holmes. How about the power to kill a yak from 200 yards away? With my bullet! That's telekinesis, Kyle! How about the power to move you?
Opie and Anthony show.
It's Adam Ferrara in the studio from The Job.
It's Adam Ferrara from The Job.
Oh, yeah.
From the Dennis Leary hit TV show, The Job. What happened to Adam Ferrara? Oh, the Hospitaliano guy from the Olive Garden commercial.
Adam's been on our show for many years. We used to, give the big intro. Adam Ferrara from Social Studies.
Ah!
Oh, God.
Oh, man.
Adam Ferrara from Adam.
Adam Ferrara from He Slept With My Sister.
Yeah, that one, too.
That was the first credit.
We used to have some great intros for you. But the latest is Adam Ferrara from The Job with Dennis Leary and the gang.
Adam was one of those rolling people in the Olive Garden commercials where they find some young aspiring Italian actor that's not willing to give a little oral for a spot on a commercial. And you fit the bill.
Man.
You're a Dago. So they threw you in front of there and you had to say, Hospitaliano.
Yes, I did.
I like when he was Adam Ferrara and his college band Date Rape.
Oh, yeah.
You had a band named Date Rape?
Oh, yeah.
For about 10 minutes.
Sure.
Sublime ripped you off, man.
Fine song, by the way.
Craig.
When do I get to pull out the Cumia Brothers photo album of stupid things you did in your
youth? It's all right, you know. We were all trying there, Adam.
I still have Hungry Hearts tapes and...
Nice.
What's that was Hungry Hearts?
That was a bar.
Hungry Hearts is this bar that used to be... I don't know where it was, but there was a bar they used to play. Desans, which is now a post office.
It stunk. Just sucked.
Wait, we have a call coming in
from... You played on a boat.
From L.A. There's nothing wrong with playing on a boat. Megan.
Yeah, but it was a 12-foot rowboat.
Hey, Megan, what's up?
Hello?
Yeah, what's up? What's up?
Hi. I was...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay. You could speak. This is Earl.
Megan?
Megan.
She's listening to herself.
Megan.
No, she can't be.
Megan. Megan, you're calling from WB in California, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's not Megan. Who are you?
Woody.
This is the...
She's freaking out. She doesn't want to be on the radio.
All right. Who are you?
I'm Joe.
Hey, Joe.
Are there any other voices living in your head?
Yeah. What does Megan want?
Yeah, why are you guys calling?
I'd like to talk to Megan. Can Megan come
out? We're calling from an advertising agency in San Francisco, and we're trying to get some information.
What does WB mean?
In advertising.
Man, you blow away those stereotypes, my friend.
Thanks.
All right, what do you need to know?
I'll be home on the radio.
What do you guys want to know?
What do we want to know? Tell them what you want to know. We want to know where you guys are syndicated at.
We're syndicated from New York.
New York.
We got that part.
Would you put the guy back on the phone, please?
Thanks.
We do our show from Chelsea.
You ever been to Chelsea?
It's Bathhouse Wednesday.
You ever been to New York?
No.
Oh.
Oh, you'd love Chelsea.
You'd love the village.
Really?
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's a smorgasbord of mules.
That's it. Do you like the mule, sir?
Yeah.
No.
Huh?
You guys are funny.
Do you like the mule?
No.
It's great stuff, the mule. You would love the village where you can go jogging along the west side and see scantily clad young men walking their shih tzus.
Their shih tzus?
In their little shorts, their wedgie shorts.
Do you have a shih tzu?
No, I don't.
It's the only place in the country that actually has knee pad rentals.
That's great.
All right. So what do you guys need to know?
Where you guys are syndicated. Like, do you guys run on any other stations in the country?
Yeah, about 15 others.
Yeah, we're really? Getting, we're getting there.
Yeah.
We're is on there someone that has, like, you guys can fax us a list or something?
We're on a station in San Francisco.
Really?
You didn't even know that?
You got to be about 5 miles from the antenna, but we are syndicated there.
Yeah.
What are the call letters?
I don't even know. they're too small for us to bother with.
I see.
I don't think we've ever had a call from San Francisco.
Really?
No, it's KYCY.
KYCY.
1550 AM.
Just remember KY.
KY.
Yeah, thanks. I remember that.
It's too hard.
Anything else, my fine friend?
No, we're cool.
How are things in San Francisco? Nice?
Yeah, they're actually pretty nice today.
How's the nightlife out there?
Pretty lame.
What does an advertising executive do to blow off steam?
Until you get a kick out of the thing.
You got to call steam.
They're like,
steam, I'm ready.
Yeah.
So what? All right.
Sorry.
All right, we'll let you go.
Are you dressed like you or Megan today?
Am I? I'm wearing Megan's dress today, actually.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
No surprise there.
When did you come out?
When did I come out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
About 2-3 years ago.
That's it?
Yeah.
Wow. So it's all new. How old a guy are you?
Wow, we nailed
26.
This one.
26?
Mm-hmm.
So you came out when you were, what, 24?
Yeah, about that.
So you're still a young gay guy out on the town going at it. That's
in the sun like a young Indian brave.
Get it all now, because there's nothing sadder than an older gay gentleman.
Yeah.
Yes.
Queens don't age well.
No,
look at Elizabeth.
Young.
Do you have good abs, sir?
Do I have good abs?
You got the six pack?
You got the six pack working?
Yeah.
Nice. I'm a gym bunny, thanks.
A gym bunny.
I never heard that.
Anything with bunny after it just sends shivers up my spine.
Yum.
What do you look like?
Sir, do your farts still make noise?
Yeah.
Bunny.
If they become gay, doesn't mean I'm not a guy.
Right. Absolutely. That's what I say.
Hey, we enjoy the gay guys. We're friends with gay guys.
Absolutely.
We have a few gay friends, my friend.
Your friend?
Yeah. We got a, you ever see Mario Cantone?
No.
He's a hysterical comic.
Funniest gay comedian you'll ever see.
And he's not like a gay comedian. He doesn't do all gay materials.
Funny,
I mean,
than
he's just
Charles
a guy.
Nelson Reilly.
Mm-hmm. There you go. You like Charles Nelson Reilly?
Not really.
Rip Taylor?
He's funnier than Louis Anderson. Who
yeah.
is just despicable. How much do you think he has to pay for a fine young gay gentleman like yourself?
Yeah, on the Louis scale, you get a fortune.
I wouldn't even want to begin to think about that.
I bet you. Imagine that. The young gay hustler comes over his house, knows that a lot of money is going to be spent by Louis, but then he opens the door and there's a big, fat, naked Louis Anderson. Hi, I was just here to hopefully get some gay companionship. You know, it's making up for a childhood of horror with my father beating me with whiskey bottles and whatnot, and the children at school making fun of me, you know, how to eat because of my low self-esteem and my enabling twat of a mother. But now you're here, and we're going to play Gay Call Guy Feud! The first question up is, what does Louis Anderson want in the balloon knot? What does Louis Anderson, we polled our audience for this survey, what does Louis want? Do you have an answer, sir? Just hit the buzzer.
Is it funny?
You don't want to play?
Play Family Feud now.
Let's see your junk! There it is! Right there! It's your junk. That's what Louis wants in his balloon knot. Thank you for playing the feud. Now pull down your pants and suck it. I love it. Yeah, it was just a whole lifetime of horror until I got enough money to buy young gentlemen like yourself. Come on in. Come on in and taste of my Fromunda cheese. It's hard to wash.
How much would it be for you to balance my on your nose?
I'm talking about juggling balls.
Juggling balls.
Of course, like a seal.
I love the circus boys.
We lost our friend.
Where'd he go?
I hope he didn't get insulted.
Oh.
Louis Anderson.
Hello, guys.
Hey. Hey, Louis, how you doing?
Well, guys, I'm a little upset.
I hope you're flattered by my imitation, Louis.
I have to say, guys, I'm a little upset.
Why?
Well, you forgot about my real passion in life.
What is that?
Well, as you recall, there was some negative media about me a while back concerning a black male.
Yes.
And if you're going to disparage me about liking the big boys, I'd at the very least like it for them to be big in the right area.
That was the blackmail thing, but I thought it was blackmail, not black males.
Well, you see, if you ran your spell check, buddy, you'd find that there's a space.
Oh, I didn't know that.
We thought the space was filled.
Unfortunately, not nearly enough.
That was hysterical. Louis Anderson, a couple of years back, a story broke that he was paying money to some gay young gentleman not to come out in the media and say that Louis had paid him for sex, because we all thought Louis was just straighter than straight, I guess. Louis, it's great. Don't try to cover up things and spend good money covering up things everyone knows anyway.
And it was all Canadian money, if you have to know.
Ah, it's worthless crap anyway. Okay.
Ooh.
All right, Louis.
Who is that?
All right, Louis.
Can we turn the comedy back into tragedy, please?
Comedy into tragedy is
pretty disgusting.
I have to see my parents, so I better go drown my sorrows in ho-hos and chocolate milk.
Chocolate milk and ho-hos. And my companion that I have at my house now, I bought a bird because I just love a cockatoo.
Or two, perhaps.
No, shut up, idiot.
Oh, sorry.
Look, I said it right. Louis says it wrong.
Well, that's why you're syndicated to 15 cities. And I'm
Thank you, Louis.
Thanks.
There you
My
go.
Favorite bird is the cockatoo, and I enjoy sitting with my favorite bird, a cockatoo.
Ooh.
Jimmy Stewart.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello, he's got me right there. You had me at hello.
Yeah.
How's it going?
What's up?
I want to say something to you.
All right, Jimmy.
There's millions of women out there with anthrax.
Millions?
At yesterday's show, you were saying jokes and all things about anthrax.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah, we're listening.
I don't think it's funny.
You don't think it's funny?
See,
Jimmy?
Let me tell you something.
Yeah.
I was watching the TV.
Yeah.
And I saw statistics. Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's millions of women dying.
Of anthrax?
Oh, yeah, anthrax. And I think that guy out there, what's his name? Steve. What's it? He writes all the songs.
Stephen Lynch, yeah.
I think he should write a song saying, his songs.
Jimmy, you gotta finish up here. You're winding. You're just going on and on.
I don't think so. You see.
All right.
God bless America.
Thank you, Jimmy. Who knew Jimmy Stewart would call him from the grave?
All right. It reminds me though of that bit off that CD. May I help you, dumbass?
Right.
Remember the what's his name was in here or talking to us? Huh?
Matt Besser.
He did a bunch of these. Prank calls, and he did one as Jimmy Stewart.
Jimmy Stewart, basically, what people were calling him instead of like a helpline for the computer?
Yeah. Yeah, he had a similar number to a computer helpline. So after a while of getting annoyed, he figured he'd just start taping him and effing with the people.
And here's him as Jimmy Stewart trying to help a sad soul out there.
Export.
Oh, yes. Hi. I'm trying to get on the Barnes & Noble line, and I can't get.
What's your problem?
The problem is that every time I try to dial it, it comes up that they can't get through and to call tech support.
We gotta be more specific, but we're gonna get through this. We're gonna turn this thing around.
Great.
Okay. So, did you enter your area code?
It seems to be entered already.
Right. You're 212, right?
Right.
That's great. Let's just stick with me at this and we'll turn this thing around.
Okay.
Great. Okay. Now re-enter your area code.
Oh, God. Cancel. Okay. All right. Now, the problem is that I need probably to call you on my cell phone because this isn't... I have one line here.
All right. Well, do you use your toolbar?
Yeah, I guess. What's the toolbar?
Well, you got to use your toolbar. That's where your icons are that we're going to have to use to fix this problem. But we're going to get through this, though. You just got to keep your chin up.
Okay, I hope so.
We're going to turn this thing around.
Great.
Okay.
So the toolbar is the thing at the bottom?
No, well, it could be at the top of the bottom. You have a Mac or on the PCs?
I have a PC. I have a Dell.
Oh, that's good. It's a fine instrument.
I also have the disc. You know, I have the Barnes & Noble disc.
Oh, you got the disc?
Yeah, and it's...
Oh, with the disc? Oh, that's great. That's great.
Still not working.
Oh. The sun's on the horizon. We're going to turn this thing around.
Great.
Okay. Put your disk in.
It's in?
Okay, I'll boot up your computer. You're going to have to restart your computer.
Okay, so you want me to just shut everything down here?
If you push on a restart, you're going to have to stick with me here. Let's keep focused.
Sorry, where is that?
Keep focused here. You're going to have to write it down with a pencil.
Okay, where is it, though?
You know how to turn off your computer, right?
Yeah.
Well, you don't do it with a button, do you?
Yeah, I do. What do you mean? There's a... okay, I got to go to shutdown.
That's where your toolbar is. You got to grab hold of it.
Okay, shutdown, restart.
Oh, grab hold of your toolbar.
I did. You want me... Okay, I have that. Now, do you want me to go to restart?
Okay, you got to stay focused now. Don't get all upset.
No, I'm not.
All right, now, you got to... Turn it off, but then you're going to see the restart. Hey, you check restart.
Okay, you want me to press... Okay, I understand what you're saying. You want me to say press shutdown or restart?
Restart.
Okay.
You got to stay focused here. You lose your cool.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, just take a breath there. Keep your chin up.
Okay, you're making me confused, though, so I'm...
No, well, take a breath.
I'm taking a breath.
All right. Just calm down. Take a breath.
So I press restart.
Yeah, well, calm down now. You can't yell at me here.
I'm not yelling at you. It's just, it's frustrating.
Yeah.
You know how
frustrating. Or is it rebooting?
Yes?
What's happening?
www.dell.com came up on my screen. So it'll be a minute or two now.
Okay.
Making all noises and what have you. But I left the CD in there, the Barnes & Noble CD. Is that good, or should I take it out?
A CD-ROM, right?
Yep.
Oh, I stick a music CD in there.
No, it's not a music CD.
I'm not joking.
No.
It'll break your computer.
Oh, no.
It's like throwing vinegar on a horse's ass.
Really? Well, that's a new expression on me. I hadn't heard that one.
Excuse me?
I haven't heard that, throwing vinegar on a horse's ass before.
Well, yeah, try it. You're going to get kicked in your head.
I guess so. I don't spend much time around horses, so it wouldn't be something I know.
Oh, yeah. If you don't spend time around horses, you end up making a jackass out of your own self.
Well, that could be. Where are you located now?
Houston.
Oh, Houston. Okay, well.
Well, what?
Well, that's...
Where are you from?
New York City.
That's right, the 212.
Right, so, you know, we don't have a lot of horses around.
Yeah, but you got a lot of jackasses up there.
Well, that's for sure.
That's for sure.
We're looking at 10 inches of snow on Saturday, so...
Well, I say you don't look at the 10 inches. You step out in there, you get out there, and you work. You shove off that snow and turn things around.
Oh, you're right. Okay, now... It came up here. Yahoo Messenger cannot connect.
Yahoo! Hee-haw!
The Opie and Anthony Show. 1027. WNEW.
1027.
The Opie and Anthony Show.
WNEW.
Check it out, the Opie and Anthony Show. If you're in the New York area, 877-692-1027 is our phone number. In the studio, Jim Norton, Adam Ferrar. And let's check in with Dallas. Craig, what's up?
What's up, man? Y'all was bagging on D-Town yesterday. What's up, man?
What happened?
Y'all was bagging on D-Town yesterday. Talking about y'all would never come to Dallas. Yeah. Why not, man?
We're on in the middle.
Because y'all are on a tool of a station here, but
no, we're on in the middle of the night in Dallas, so it's kind of tough to do anything for Dallas.
I know that's the only thing that sucks, man. Because like I work at another radio station here in Dallas, and I work in the daytime, and I caught you guys one night, man, and I got hooked, man. And
Oh,
I was
yeah.
Like, I'm up till 2 in the morning every night trying to catch you guys, man.
That is so weird that we're on 10P to 2A somewhere.
Yeah, because they would rather bring in. See, what happened is, let me tell you, the station down here.
Does anyone else care in America, though, what you're about to say? No, I'm just asking, seriously.
I'm a big Cowboy fan, dude. I'm a big Cowboy fan. And we'll go to Dallas, I think, when the Cowboys win 2 games in a row.
Craig, thanks for the support, though. We appreciate that.
Hey,
right?
Man, I love you guys, man. I'm still listening every night.
All right. Thank you.
Hey, till then. Bye. Till y'all get a better shot, man. Holla.
All right. Peace.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
All right. We have lots to do. We have a letter from Stalker Patty apologizing for her actions on the show the other day.
Do you see how lunatic this woman is?
This is what mental patients do to pull you back in.
Yes.
They make you feel sorry for them, and then you know, you realize you're a human being, and then you're like, okay, I'm sorry, and then they're close to you again.
I was shaken.
And, we could read this. It's about a 5-page letter. And,
oh, my God.
And in the letter, she talks about...
With no punctuation.
No, in the letter, she talks about being an ant, which is pretty interesting.
Being an ant. Oh, yeah. You know,
she thinks she's an insect.
Yeah. It was a while back, I believe it was Norton, right? That said, this woman has the body of an ant. She is. She's very frail and fragile looking, and her body is very ant-like. and we've been goofing on her about that. Now she's acknowledging it in her letter. She's referring to herself as an ant.
Yeah, you want to get everyone up to speed.
about Patty. What happened the other day. Not the whole Patty story, because that's a nightmare. Patty's just basically a stalker of this program, and of Opie more so, thank God.
And she can
no joking, she really is a stalker. People are like, a little radio bit. I hear this stuff on the morning zoo all the time. But
what makes her a scary stalker is she can lift 10 times her body weight.
Right, very scary.
Right.
A stalker doesn't have to be the person that shows up at your door with a gun. It's preferable, but it doesn't have to be. And Patty is a type of stalker.
And we learned stalkers stick together. So there's a stalker in Chicago who decided to mail stalker Patty all my personal info.
Mm-hmm.
And I was taking care of it behind the scenes, but Patty decided to tell my girlfriend, and she lost her ass at the Beacon Theater, which made for a nightmare of a night, so then I lost it on Patty the other day.
Not only that, though, but Patty at the Beacon Theater was all pissed off and upset that she couldn't get backstage. Meanwhile, it wasn't our gig. It was Jane Moore's. She was complaining to certain people, like looking at people that were backstage and going, I saw people I didn't know back there. I've been involved at the show for quite a while. Why am I being treated like this? Four fists waving in the air.
Yeah, she's more concerned about
on the ground.
You know, people she doesn't know being backstage and wants to know why they're backstage.
Tiny abdomen shaking back and forth, hanging from that little thread-like thing between the thorax and the abdomen, that little hair-like whiskery piece of material that is just too thin to support life. I never realized how it worked. But on Patty, it's just shaking back and forth. Why?
Right. So she was, I have something real quick. She was standing just outside the entrance to the dressing room.
Mm-hmm.
And she looked at me and said, they're not letting me go up there. So I said, I don't know, Patty. I was standing there with six people that I brought with me that were members of the union that I worked with. Right. They're very important people. This one guy resembled Keith the Cop. He resembles him. Mind you, I mean, you look at him, you know it's not Keith the Cop. She stood there staring at him going, Keith, and the guy didn't answer. The guy was like, who is this?
Why isn't Keith paying attention? I'm one of the family.
She was frightening, man.
Loony.
Hey, what's this white powder in the envelope? With the
Don't even.
It's probably dandruff from her pubic hair.
Worse than anthrax.
She addresses the whole trying to get backstage at the Jay Moore show at the Beacon and other things. We left it with basically making Stalker Patty cry. We're not proud of ourselves, but that's what happened.
No, cry is too nice a word for what she was doing.
We told her to get lost.
She was, bawling, hysterical, when you see in the movie, they tell somebody that somebody they love just died. That's how she's crying. And as per Mary, our intern, she released fluids on herself. She was so upset.
There's no 100% guarantee with that, but she smelled very, very funny.
She smelled like someone that was at the Friars Club.
Right, like the best diaper.
Yeah, exactly. I wrote that.
No, because we asked you to, she was so upset and losing it that we said, Mary, please bring her to the bathroom so she could kind of freshen up and get herself together.
We didn't.
What did we do?
Didn't do anything. She was upset and you guys were laughing. So I went in there in the good of my own heart.
All right, that's fine.
I wasn't sure. Why are you making fun of me? All it was the fluid we used to bond the larvae together in the chambers till they hatch. It has a urine-like scent to it. It's how we keep the walls up in our holes.
And you don't understand. She was shaking. I mean, shaking to the point where she couldn't walk from the bathroom to the studio. Like, she was holding on to me.
You know, they do that just before they attack.
Yeah, they shake.
They do shake.
Yeah. And they come out of everywhere with those huge mandibles. They're giant.
And what is that we're not proud statement? We're not very proud of that. You were very happy with that. Yeah, I've never seen Opie so pleased.
I was just trying to redeem myself because the email I got the next day.
Oh, yeah.
Usually email doesn't get to me. Some of it was
one of
I should have read some of that on the air. I don't know why.
One of them was from Cindy Williams. She was really pissed.
Yeah. And because of the Patty incident, I shredded my vocal cords, by the way, because of this.
Shut up!
Literally shredded them where I might have to go to, a throat specialist.
That's like Muslim rage.
My voice hurts so much every time I talk now.
Yeah, that is Muslim rage.
This is like... Picture the flags burning, they're chanting, all the beards, the filthy animals in the streets. And then they're yelling,
shut up!
Yeah. I can see
that's
it.
Not, there's not a lot of distortion in that, by the way. That was my voice going past what your vocal cords are supposed to do.
One more time. Let's hear it.
Stop!
Okay.
Yeah. So Mary, when she walked Patty to the bathroom, she came running back in saying, "Hey, man." Patty relieved herself. She smells like, you know, number one.
Right, like she did a number one on herself while weeping.
That's not what Mary said exactly. Mary came back with her hand out and said, "Smell my fingers."
And who didn't?
Usually that's hot, but
everyone did. Yeah, until you realize, "Smell my finger." Oh, okay. It was Patty.
All right, well.
She hit on Patty.
I will hand over the letter to Anthony so he can read it as Stalker Patty. This is the latest installment of the soap opera that is Stalker Patty.
Yeah.
Let me see the, just listen for the guilt.
Here it is. You're trying
to
guilt
me? This is what mental patients do. They give you the guilt, and then you invite them back into the... into the fold.
Whiskey.
Oh, wait, we need some music before you read the letter.
Oh, play that sad walking away song from The Incredible Hulk.
Owen, I and company. This is in response to Monday's episode in the studio. Please cut me a little slack. You're judging me kind of harshly. My life has been turned upside down in the span of less than a week, and I had to move an entire room into storage, pack my bags, leave a place that was an illegal rental that I didn't know about under an immediate eviction, finding myself suddenly homeless overnight and scrambling for temporary lodging, trying to relocate to a new home.
What does that have to do with anything?
With no money and there has not been a period yet. And continuing to work my two jobs without taking any time off.
You're right, no punctuation either.
Oh my God.
That is so lame.
They put me at the bottom of the hive, where I have to gnaw through solid rock to see the light of day. Now she goes, on top of that, the two crooks I rented from for 3 months with no lease were threatening me over the phone at work because they wanted more money from me.
One was a blue aardvark.
So
they're trying to get more money from her. She'll pay it.
Distortion is part of this letter now.
Right.
Correct. Last night I found a place, actually signed a lease, and made arrangements to tag on an extra to the rent to make up for a security deposit.
First page, I just flipped over. Nothing about anything but her problems finding a place to live.
Well, that's what they do, though, man.
And now some of the stress I've been carrying is beginning to go away as problems get solved. All this was happening in the span of a couple of days with no mental preparation or warning. And not knowing what was going to happen next. Plus, I was alone with my situation, fending for myself with literal or no help from others in the colony.
With no help from others.
In an unforeseen situation that just heaped itself on me. Some of that bottled up stress expressed itself on Sunday night. I know I should not have gotten so upset when I wasn't allowed upstairs after the show. I'd been dealing with a huge situation all week and merely wanted some company in a festive atmosphere that would take me away from my circumstances for a couple of minutes.
Shut up!
Because I was not a stranger to some people upstairs, I didn't think it was a problem to come up and mingle a little. Maybe I needed some people to be with me at the moment and felt frustrated that I could not have a couple of minutes to escape my situation.
There's the guilt. There's the guilt. She just wanted to come back have a little companionship. As for our issues concerning the correspondence from Chicago, it was an error in judgment on my part. I'd been concerned about it since I handed it in. It was an additional worry on top of what I suddenly found myself going through a couple of days before. And maybe someone from the show could have reassured me that I was okay and being handled it. I would not have felt the need to mention it to the wrong person by mistake on my part. Sometimes silence and no feedback can increase my anxiety. And might give me an impression that it's worse than it was. I merely wanted to know the status of the letter and what happened with it. I didn't realize it was not good to tell Sandy. She was the first one I saw and asked about it on impulse. As a lot of baggage is on my mind, that was one concern I needed to be relieved from. I had never gotten a letter like this before.
Canned laughter, always funny. Sorry, go ahead, Ann.
And with no prior experience, I didn't know what to think of this. I felt I needed to ask anyone. Please be fair to me. I've done nothing wrong that I can see in a technical way. I've just been reacting to stressful situations that have been forced on me.
Walk it off, Dick.
Stuff I didn't ask for or plan for. I admit my behavior wasn't the
best. Be more funny!
As for our correspondence from Chicago, direct anger toward him or her. They may have done something illegal, harassment, be it a letter or a phone hang-up, it's against the law.
She knows that.
Who is this person? And why did they do this to begin with? I'm losing my faculties.
Yeah, baby.
I'm not Super Lady or Wonder Woman.
Oh, Super Lady? Has there been a Super Lady?
No.
Excuse me. Has there been a Super Lady?
No.
With a body like an ant, Super Lady.
Up, up, and away. I'm not Super Lady or Wonder Woman. I'm anorexic, bitch. Even with six legs and the physical... Now, this is real. This is what she's writing. Even with six legs and the physical strength to lift 50 times my own weight, or with my compound voice, which I probably beats Opie's 2015 vision, I'm still a human ant who is more sensitive than most. I do have feelings when I go through circumstances that are bigger than an average person goes through. Please forgive me my temporary loss of sanity and welcome me back to your good graces and company of the show. Thank you.
Hey, it's the retarded combo.
You better watch out, or the incest will get you.
I got ya.
Sweet, merciful crap!
That's right, Homer.
I gotta be honest, Patty made sense.
Yeah.
The letter was actually fairly coherent and made sense.
In what type of way?
Just that, you know, she was well written.
She rambles on and on. All right.
Do you feel the guilt in that letter, though?
Yeah, it's like, here's all of my problems. I don't need you compounding my problems by pointing out my ineptness and mistakes.
Nice girl, but about as sharp as a sack of wet mice.
When you have a close friend, I've had several close friends that when they start laying stuff like that on you, you get rid of them.
Bolt.
Yeah, but I keep coming back, you freaks.
Run! Run!
Yeah.
Oh, that's the guilt machine.
Oh, my God.
Jesus, Patty.
Oh, well.
The medications don't work.
So there's the latest on the Patty saga.
I can't believe it.
Now, the letter.
Where's the rock that was tied to?
Is that
thrown through the window.
Oh, my God.
Let's go to Bob. Bob, what's up?
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey.
You guys want to get rid of Stalker Patty? Tell her that you tell Dice that you stole a bit or drop a raid bomb.
Now it's me.
All right, very good.
Thanks, man.
Then I'd have to get in touch with Dice through certain correspondence. That poor, poor, pathetic mess that she is. Bill, what's up?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, listen, man. You guys are cruel and insensitive. I mean, you guys are bordering on inhuman, but, man, you're funny.
Thank you, Bill. I mean, screw you.
I want to find out if she wet herself, though.
Hey, I know.
Don't you need to know that now?
Yes.
Hey,
Opie? Faster than a speeding bullet that's headed towards Opie.
I'm sure she's
more powerful than a locomotive that I wish would hit Opie. Able to leap tall buildings and hopefully on the other side land on Opie. It's Super Lady.
Super Lady.
Super Lady. Mike, what's up?
Hey, what's going on?
Hey.
It's pretty impressive that Anthony knows all the friggin' anatomical terminology to the nth. He's the smartest air conditioning repairman I've ever seen.
I ran into a few up in the ductwork, jackass.
Hey, ants are pretty impressive, huh? Whether you step on their house or kick them out, they seem to find a second house, huh?
Every time. See, Patty is just like an ant, not only in body, but it seems all time after time, her little ant hole gets kicked over by some kid,
mm-hmm.
or you'd pour some juice in it or something.
Right.
And the next day, what do you see?
Another anthill.
They're right back there again, moving on just like Patty will. Yep.
And she
don't think of the psychological problems the ant faces when you kick that nice straight line. They're cracking a cricket apart on one end and the holes at the other.
And her instinct is to swarm.
Well, just swarm.
That's it.
The ant herself is calling in. How did she get the hotline, by the way?
Patty.
Hello.
Well, you sound very upbeat now.
Well, yeah, I got a place to live now.
That's good. Did another swarm take you in?
What?
Yes.
Well, anyway, I just used the phone number on the wall.
Patty,
you're upstairs, right?
Yeah.
Oh, of course you are.
Yeah, Reynolds and I were both listening.
Reynolds.
So yeah, she just went back to work after we were listening.
So why are you in the building today?
She heard there was popsicle sticks here.
Why? Because I wanted to run up and show Reynolds, you know, what I was hearing.
At the news department up at Tintin Winds, I heard that Lois Lane was falling with a helicopter from the roof, and Super Lady's got to catch her as she falls to the street below.
Well, anyway, Opie yelled at me so hard on Monday. Yes, I didn't even know it, but I did wet myself.
Oh, Patty,
I did.
Opie yelled at you.
I'm sorry. It was so intimidating.
God damn, that is the best thing.
But that's how I get when I'm intimidated enough.
Is that what it was?
If you're loud enough and threatening enough, yes, I will be intimidated enough.
Is that what you did? He intimidated you and yelled at you, and you wound up going all over yourself.
Well, I did. I couldn't help it. I didn't even know it, until I left and came back.
Well, everyone else knew. Everyone else knew. You must be taking vitamins or something.
When the ant feels threatened, it secretes a musk.
You get kind of scary.
Shut up.
Uh-oh. Wait a minute. I'm getting warmer in my crotch.
By the way, Tom, yes, Norton is on the floor rolling around. Norton, yeah. You want to get off the floor?
Patty's just like a skunk, man. She tried to spray you in self-defense.
That's one of my superpowers that Super Lady has. I'm not Super Lady. Actually, I am Super Lady. And what I do, one of my defenses when one of those super villains come is I wet myself and the smell chases them away.
Just because you're Super Lady, you don't have to behave like Christopher Reeve since the accident.
Super Lady. Flying away on her maxi pad.
Very funny.
You're a mess.
How bad did you leak yourself?
Not that bad, but I did.
It was really? Enough.
It was enough.
Now, Patty, since you didn't have a place to live, where'd you shower?
Well, I stayed at friends' places over the last 5 days. I stayed on...
friends?
Yeah, I have a couple of friends on Staten Island. They let me stay overnight, and...
I made my home in the North Pole. It's a big, frozen, yellow castle. Guess how I make it?
I don't know
Super
how.
Super Lady flies high above the North Pole. And I listen to Opa yell at me, and as I wet myself, it lands on the icy mist below. Gigantic yellow ice castle. Then the smell keeps the villains out.
Well, anyway, I think I did a very good job for myself getting a place within 3 days and...
Shut up, dummy.
I'm set to move in Thursday.
And if Opie really scares me, I'm going to put a brown roof on the whole thing. Super Lady.
Super Lady. Where the hell did you get that? Super Lady, the emaciated mess, flying through the air.
Girls leaking themselves, always funny.
Yeah,
cleverly disguised as a 45-year-old virgin.
That'll be a good what did I learn. Girls Super leaking lady. Themselves, always funny.
You know, I think I owe Mary, the intern, an apology. I thought she was exaggerating. I'm like, there's no way
that yell
this
at
happened.
Her.
Yes, it did, and I didn't know it until later.
Shut up.
She just wet herself again. Opie's like her nemesis. Like it's like kryptonite. Opie's yell just makes her relieve her functions. It's like kryptonite.
Wow.
Oh, no. A good hit with kryptonite.
I wish I had that power.
I was right.
Yes, you were right.
I didn't know for sure or not, so I was right.
No, you were right.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
I thought you were exaggerating.
Lex Opie. It's a bird-like buddy. It's a plain-looking woman. No, it's Super Lady. Powers beyond that of mortal women. I can wet myself. Don't worry, I'll swoop down on the villains and level them with my yellow fluid.
Flying on the wings of a maxi.
Flying on my big wings of a maxi pad, I fly over the villain and myself on them. Can you read my mind? My hymen is like lead. I don't know what kind of Superman tie-in that is, but no one's sure it. No one's seeing through it.
It's a Super Lady. Able to open stuffed jar lids with her labia. Super Lady.
You gotta love it. She is never a disappointment.
Super Lady stinks.
Dude, we gotta get her a suit.
Literally.
It's around Christmas time. We gotta get her a suit for the Philly show.
A cape and a diaper.
A cape and a diaper. And then Opie could yell at her on stage and she could wet herself. Price of admission.
I thought we were reenacting the Carrie scene with Soccer Patty.
Oh, were we going to put her in a gown and dump pig blood on her head?
This is better.
After talking it up like she's going to be the queen of the prom. They'll all laugh at you. Look at your dirty pillows are showing.
I don't have any dirty pillows.
All right, we got to get a Supergirl outfit for
my hairy
Stalker
pillows
Patty.
Are showing.
My hairy pillows. That's what they are. Looks like the stuffing's coming out. I better write some correspondence to Chicago.
Nice.
All right, we have to take a break.
All right.
Opie, Anthony, 1027, WNEW,
107 WNEW, New York.
23 Skidoo.
Hey, Gorilla Boy's on the line. Jeff Norris, what's going on,
Jeff?
Bud?
Jeff.
Hello. He gave up on us and hung up.
Did you hang up,
Jeff?
Yeah, I guess
Gorilla
he did.
Boy. All right.
I think he got arrested or something.
Is Paul Mercurio here?
Yeah.
Bring him in. Gorilla Boy.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Oh, great white gorilla. Don't destroy our village.
Hey, Anthony, let me ask you something. Are martial art tattoos considered a prop?
No.
No?
Not unless you're...
If not, I'll get skin grafting. Now I'm a prop comic.
Somebody kicking someone's ass is a prop.
Hey,
so
Jeff.
Maybe you can do that.
Jeff.
That's a good one.
Jeff, just in case you weren't listening earlier, Anthony called you a hack.
I did not.
Really? I try to bring the character to life, right? I'll leave the Archie hat home. What do you want me to tell you?
Hi. Now, what happened?
All right. First of all, I just want to tell you guys that I am forever in debt to you guys, because if it wasn't for you, I would be... No, listen, and the Port Authority cops, if you're listening, thank you. You guys were very nice. I was on Law and Order, the set of Law and Order yesterday.
Yeah.
I'm driving home, this little... You got the dump button ready?
No, don't curse.
No, okay. This little white, these two white trash punks cut in front of my truck. Don't realize there's another car in front of me, jam on a brake, so naturally I do. All my stuff goes forward, and the fake 9mm... lands on my dashboard.
Now, what are you doing with a fake 9mm in your
car? I told you. I was a cop on the set of Law and Order.
Yeah, but usually they don't let you take the props home with you.
No, it's my own. I bought a cop uniform and the whole stuff.
Wait a minute.
All right, there's a lot going on here.
You get a part on a TV show, but right. You have to buy your wardrobe and your props.
No, what I did was I went out and I bought it through this acting school, and took headshots in it and submitted it to these different cop shows because I always said people told me I could get a cop role.
Oh,
so anyway, right. Here I'm thinking it's a lucky break, and this kid cuts me off, and everything goes flying, and the gun and the nightstick and everything lands on my desk.
But wait, we gotta slow you down again though. Why would you have the prop gun? Why would they allow you to bring your own prop gun to the set of Law and Order? Don't they have that just laying around?
Well, I do have stuff, but I had my own, stuff.
And since you were taking the pictures for this, so you could submit them to the shows, why would you have to then take the stuff with you?
In other words, I guess it enhances your chances of getting on or getting lines or what have you, because I guess it's like a prepared, you go to school with a pencil.
Yeah,
school
to take has a
pencil,
perps.
But you bring your own.
Yeah. All right, okay.
All right.
So everything goes flying forward.
Right. So with this, with my psycho temper, I yell at the kid. The kid throws a...
Can I back up again?
Oh, Jesus Christ. Go ahead.
Jeff, are you feeling left out? Haven't been on the show in a while? Need to come up with a good story for our show?
No, not at all.
Just checking.
Not at all.
All right, the story just seems a little fishy. All right,
well,
go ahead.
Now that I feel like a total a-hole.
I want to hear the rest of it.
Now we need to hear the rest of the story.
Holy Christ. You know, I have a lot of friends, but I think the one thing I question is you.
Oh, Frosted Mini-Wheat, don't destroy our village.
Frosted Mini-Wheat. Now, anyway, make a long story short, they thought it was a real gun. They freaked out. They pulled their guns on me. They found out who I was. Everything was cool, and Port Authority cops are good people. So.
Well, so because the cops came, and then they look in the car.
They treated me like Rodney King. I got cuffed. I just felt like an idiot. And I told him I was just, I said, I'm an actor. I swear to Christ. But
gun partner!
The one cop knew me from the show, and he said he's a big fan, and they were really good guys, and I wanted to thank them. They're good people. And I don't feel left out from the show.
Gun partner!
Jeff, I was just kidding.
I know. I'm only teasing. And I'm not plugging nothing, so don't worry about it.
I see you're a lying scumbag.
See? And see, Jeff? See, Jeff, you have the problem?
And next time someone goes to kick your foot at Caroline's, I'm going to walk away.
I wanted to see the guy get beat up.
Yeah. You
see, ungrateful. Jeff, and you're abusing me. I didn't push that button.
I meant to push the Foghorn Leghorn.
And what would he say?
I see you're a lying scumbag.
Wait a minute.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
What the hell were you thinking?
And you got another bun you want to push over there?
When you're telling these little stories, here's a good idea. How
have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
No, that wasn't me. That was Opie.
Oh, okay.
Whatever.
Yeah, we'll play that game.
Please don't hurt me, oh big white gorilla.
I love when he does that.
Oh, man.
You know what? Someone is defending you, though, so why don't we talk to...
I'm sure this is sincere, too.
No, I think it is. Matthew?
Yeah.
What's up?
Yeah, I don't know.
Hey.
Yeah, I just want to, help him clear it up a little bit. I do extra work myself, and what happens is a lot of these extra actors, if you have your own props, your own wardrobe, it makes it easier for you to get roles. You can bring your own stuff. It'll give you actually more money to bring your own wardrobe and stuff like that in. So I see a lot of these guys on Law and Order or Oz, they bring in their own props.
Right.
All right, Matthew, thank you.
Morning.
Jeff, that guy, defended you.
I know.
See, we have audio of the cops when they rolled up to Norris's vehicle.
It's coming right for us!
Melanie, what's going on?
How is it possible that when you're driving, you stop short, stuff lands on top of your dashboard?
Because I was doing 40 and I had a jam on the brake.
Where was this prop gun?
Yeah, but how does it jump up and land on your dashboard?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I had a garment bag over my passenger seat and everything flew forward.
Flew forward and
on
up?
On top of the dashboard?
I'm thinking,
I drive a big truck, sweetheart.
I'm going back to my physics.
Yeah, but I drive an SUV too and I don't see how stuff can fall on top of my...
I'm going back to my physics class. Jump up and forward at the same time, sure.
Yeah.
Maybe you hit a bump.
It's like the Kennedy assassination. It would, yeah. It's the magic gun nightstick theory.
Went forward and to the right.
It's like impossible.
No, it's not impossible.
Well, the chances of that happening.
Melanie?
All right, go.
Wait. Let me talk to Melanie. Melanie?
Yes?
Have you ever seen Gorilla Boy?
No.
Just say, okay, I believe you, Gorilla Boy.
No, but I don't. If I have stuff in my passenger seat and I stop short, everything comes on the floor. Nothing has ever flown up and landed on the dashboard.
Yeah, but sweetheart, your dildo on the front seat wouldn't land on the dashboard.
You're lying, because it's impossible.
Yeah, that's a joke, son. Okay. Don't you get it?
Man, you're the inspiration for twin beds, you dirty whore. Thank you.
All right, Melanie.
Oh, my God.
Perfect guy to play a cop.
Right. Paul Mercurio in the studio, Jeff.
Yeah.
Say hi to Paul.
Hey, Jeff.
Hi, Paul.
How you doing, man?
Hold on. Let me get rid of Melanie here.
He doesn't...
This is turning out to be a really good segment.
I like this. I'm trying to figure it out myself.
Another actor on the phone, Jeff. Another Jeff. Jeff.
Yeah.
What's up, man?
Not much. I'm on my way to an audition now, and I got 3 dead whores in the trunk.
But it's okay.
Nice. I'm playing a psycho.
Yeah, it's okay, though, because you're trying out for a part.
Yeah, but you got them in the trunk, so that's good. Dude, I mean, the cops stopped me before. No big deal.
All right.
Thanks a lot, man.
Hey, Gorilla Boy?
Yes, sir.
For the record, I believe you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Come on.
Oh.
I know.
When are you going to be on Law & Order?
I think, I don't know. I shot yesterday. I'm on it today. I guess it airs. I guess it takes like 3 weeks.
Yeah.
It's Special Victims Unit. I don't know when. It ain't no major big thing. It's just...
Yeah, that's cool, though. You're a mini-wheat, goddammit.
That's right. I'm the Frosted Mini-Wheat.
He's
so
more than that, too. He gets tackled in that Stacker 2 commercial.
I saw that one, too.
I was running during the XFL stuff.
Well, if I can, I did get a part in a movie, so that's one thing I will say.
What movie?
I'm in a movie, start shooting next week called...
Fantasia?
Huh?
Nothing.
It's called I'm with Lucy. It stars Monica Potter.
Who's that?
What do I even tell you guys this?
Hey, no,
Wait.
She's in that movie with Morgan Freeman, Along Came a Spider.
Oh, yeah.
Blonde.
Why are you getting mad and saying, why do I tell you this?
You know what? Let me tell you something.
Here we go.
Now I'm going to friggin' talk. First of all, okay, you got every comic on there, and they're all great. I'm not saying that.
Hey, Jeff, don't do a Billy and Paul on us here.
I'm never going to do that. Right. I'm your friend, but I'm saying, right. How come you allow... Mm-hmm. Every other guy to call and plug and come in and say anything, and I call and it's like, die, get in the coffin.
Gorilla Boy, you just plugged for 20 minutes. That's good stuff.
I didn't plug. I was telling you a life-threatening story where I trapped myself.
And we're entertaining the people. The phones are going crazy. Look, Sarah wants to say hi to you. Hold on.
Oh, Christ. you already put the good talk call through.
Of course. Look,
I know.
Sarah, what's up?
Hey, guys. Hey. Did he also have to get stitches on the side of his head because the motorcycle went into his car?
Like our intern.
Look, look.
Yeah.
Remember our old intern?
Jeff, look, I didn't know she was going to say that.
That's all right.
Vinny from Rosedale saying, hey, Norris, when Santa and the Easter Bunny come over, tell him I said hi. That's not me, though.
Gorilla Boy. No, that's cool. I still believe in that. That's cool.
All right.
Hold on. I agree with Gorilla Boy. I'm an extra in porno movies, and they recommend you bring your own junk.
Nice. That's pretty good, man.
Hold on. Pete's found a hole in your story. One?
Pete, what's up?
Pete.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing? Hey, listen. First of all, this guy's a clown. He's got an SUV, right?
No, okay. He's got one of these monster trucks, basically.
All right, check this out now. He says that the bag was sitting on top of the passenger seat, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's still way below the dashboard, guys.
No, it's
I
not.
Mean, it's got to climb up.
Inside of a Dodge Ram, you...
Time out. Yeah, time out, tough guy. You might be big, but you're stupid.
You're a Trano, nice.
You're a jerk, bro. You're a joke. You're a big goofball, man. Let me tell you something. I drive an SUV.
We're getting to the bottom of this. Wow.
Let me tell you something. I drive an SUV myself. I'm in one right now. I'm telling you, I got a double bag.
Thank you.
You win.
I'm
you win.
Man, junk. You talk like that from swallowing.
No. Your mother had me up all night, bro.
Truck. I deliver pizzas for Domino's. I have no life, so I have to go on Opie and Anthony to talk to Norris.
No, but you got a life. You're auditioning with a cop suit in your car to get a role on Law and Order, but you got a life.
That's right,
anyway.
My friend. I make more money.
I'm not your friend,
personal,
bro. You don't know me. You're
in the corner.
All right. Go back to your hole, bro. Listen, all I'm going to say is that if he's got a duffel bag on the seat...
Let me talk. Hold on. You can't both talk.
It's Jeff's brother, everybody.
Yeah.
Is he done? Can I speak for a second?
Yeah, go ahead, Pete. For a second.
Okay, what I'm saying is that if the duffel bag's on the passenger seat, it's still way below the dashboard. If he stops short, unless there's a midget in his duffel bag pushing it up, it's not coming up that far.
What are you, Columbo?
Come on, bro.
It was raining last Tuesday. I hate to bother you.
I can't believe that you're questioning this. I've seen this happen before. There was an episode where Martin Landau was driving, and I believe he hit somebody, and a gun flew up and fired and hit a guest on Maury Amsterdam. It could happen.
It killed your dog, Lieutenant, didn't it?
It killed my dog and Mrs. Columbo. All right, Norris, I'm willing to believe your story. There's just a few holes. Pardon me. Can I ask you one more question? I understand gravity and physics. So what dimension was this, sir?
You were dressed in a cop's uniform, correct.
So you're in a police officer's uniform.
No, I wasn't in a uniform. Sir.
That's true. Yes, you were.
Oh, man.
Hey, no, I actually have the Dodge website up. I am looking at the interior of a Dodge Ram to see how high.
You really think I would learn? Instead of calling you guys, you really think I would learn?
It actually has an asterisk. It says, do not put 9mm fake gun on passenger seat on bag when going to be extra at Law and Order.
Has a tendency to jump up onto the dashboard.
Goes up into the right.
Right.
It's all there. Small print. Got to read it.
There we go. I'm looking. Wow.
Jeff, you didn't have a try on out in the new Matrix movie, did you?
No.
The Matrix. All right. I'm looking. Ope, what do you think? If something is on the seat, do you think it can go up?
Anthony, you know how big a seat is in a truck?
I'm looking at the seat of
your
truck.
Where your head sits.
Yes.
Okay, that's where it was drooped. It was drooped over the top of the seat.
So it was over the back of the seat.
How do you balance a gun on the back of a seat?
Yeah. No, the bag. So
it was in the bag.
It still had to get out of the bag, though.
Yeah, how to get out of the bag.
It has hands and
nothing was zipped. It was in a garment bag.
It's the David Blaine of guns. It got itself out of the bag.
That trick's going to be on ABC next week, matter of fact, right?
Good one.
I am going to stand in a block of ice.
And a gun will fly out of my...
And then there will be a tornado of fire. And I will deny my sexuality yet again. Who am I? David Copperfield.
I like that they put grease on his eyebrows so they wouldn't singe. Oh,
yeah.
It was like 32-gallon drums of grease on his eyebrow. I'm sorry, getting you off on your
tangent. That's okay.
Sorry about that.
Gorilla Boy.
Yes, sir.
You know we kid because we love.
Oh, then you guys must be madly in love with me. Rick must fantasize about me at night then.
Come on.
If you kid for love, then I got to be the most loved guy.
Come on, this is too good. We couldn't pick on Earl today. We had to find somebody.
Yeah, he took a beating the other day.
All right.
All right, fellas, I got to get out of here.
You got any?
Good talking to you.
Do you have any gigs, Norris?
Am I allowed?
Sure. After that beating, of course.
Next Thursday and Friday night at Caroline's with Jim Brewer.
Hey, nice. Cool.
Yeah, and I was looking forward to working with Jay, but there was too many comics, so I got the bump. But I'll be on the show next Thursday and Friday with Brewer at Caroline's.
And come on in and say hi to us next week, all right?
We'll do. Thanks, fellas. You're the best.
All right, Jeff.
Bye, man.
Jeff Norris, Gorilla Boy.
It was like that episode with William Shatner as the magician. Remember that one? All of a sudden, guns are flying out of garment bags and whatnot, landing on dashboards. It was just like that episode.
Now, let me get this right. At the time of the shooting, you were having dinner with the gun. Is that correct?
So it's on the back of your seat in a garment bag. And suddenly, the brakes are applied, and it flies right through the plastic.
The gun stops. It has a sip of coffee on the way to the dashboard.
I hear the gun was chipping golf balls the whole time.
Now, your neighbor says you like to take walks on the beach with your gun. Is that correct?
The prop gun. I hear for years, Bill Shatner walked around with a phaser. He had to have his own phaser with him during the Star Trek series.
Now, let me understand this, Captain Kirk. The phaser flew out of your ass, hit Mr. Sulu in the head, and continued toward the viewing screen.
You know those big globes during the Gamesters of Triskelion? William Shatner supplied those. They were actually candy dishes from his own house, I do believe. And the spaghetti Colin the Monster from Lost in Space. That belonged to part of the cast. That was young Williams.
Oh, my
spaghetti Colin. What a lisp I got.
We have to take a break. Paul Mercurio in the studio. And
hey,
DiNicola. And Mike DiNicola.
Hey, everybody.
Mike DiNicola.
He's in the bad seat, though. I can't see him.
Yeah, I know.
The bad seat. He's behind that big, huge computer screen.
Watch out for flying. Firearms.
The Opie and Anthony Show, 1027 WNEW. The Opie, 1027 The Opie, WNEW. The Opie and Anthony Show.
It is Opie and Anthony. Hello, how are you guys?
Hey.
Thanks for joining us.
There you go.
Bridget, you're next on WNEW. What's up?
Hi, guys.
How are you?
Maybe you can help me figure out what happened. I called you guys yesterday.
Oh, my God. Wait. You're the girl that Anthony gave the BJ advice to, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. What happened?
Last night was my boyfriend's birthday.
Yeah. Right.
And I wanted to make it a great night for him. So I got this great outfit, and I cooked a really great meal, and I invited him over. My parents are out of the country right now.
Yeah.
So he brought over a movie, and we had dinner. We sat down to the movie, and I was really nervous, but good nervous, really excited.
Yeah, you were actually ready to give him the first hummer you've ever given in your life.
And I've been with him for over a year.
Yeah.
So halfway through the movie, I leaned over, and I whispered that I had a surprise for him.
Yeah.
And I told him to close his eyes. And I got down in front of him.
All right.
So I had a little oil hidden underneath the couch, and I put it on my lips.
Oil?
A little bit,
like,
yeah.
What, 10W-40? Some Quaker State?
No, almond oil.
Oh, almond oil?
Yeah, just like lip gloss, but it wouldn't have...
All right, well, that's an interesting little feature. That's pretty cool. Okay.
So I started running my hands up his legs.
Yeah.
And I started kissing him.
Mm-hmm.
And he got really excited.
All right.
And I unbuttoned his pants.
All right, be careful.
Okay.
And I started following your instructions.
From yesterday,
yes.
Very good.
From yesterday.
Okay.
And I started really slowly.
All right, be careful. Did you make the Charles Bronson face?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hide those teeth, yes.
So everything just really fell into place. Everything seemed really natural. I was really glad I called you guys because I've never seen it before except in a picture.
Right.
I've never seen a men's part before.
You've never even saw a guy naked before?
No. I mean, little kids, but that's different.
Yeah, but you've had sex with this guy before, right?
No.
But yesterday you said you had sex with him.
No, I asked you if I should. I'm glad I didn't now.
Why? What happened?
Well, he He finished.
Right.
And you guys said something about eating your broccoli.
Yeah.
I must have liked broccoli when I was little, because it was just, the whole thing was so beautiful. It was really, really
very nice. So we helped you out with your first Hummer.
Yeah. And then I finished, and I, you know, kind of cleaned him up, and I looked up just kind of to say happy birthday or something.
Uh-huh.
And he had his hands on either side of my head.
Oh, yeah?
And he had this terrible look on his face, and before I could say anything, he pushed me back. I'm not going to cry. He pushed me back and threw me back so my head hit the floor.
Why did he do that?
I'm asking you. I have no idea. And he stood up and he pulled up his pants and he said that he always knew I was a little whore.
Come on.
I swear. And he told me never to call him again, like I would at this point.
And he
left.
Come on, you're kidding.
You're kidding, right?
No.
Oh my God. He pushed you back and said he knew you were a little whore?
Yes.
Yeah, but you are. You're a little whore.
Well, there's plenty of guys out there that would appreciate you.
Wow.
Bridget.
What did this guy have, a stick up his butt?
I don't know. He's never acted like this before.
But he waited till he was finished.
You know what you did? Know what the problem was? You were so good at it that he assumed that you just had a lot of practice.
Maybe that's it. He thought you were a pro from hobbing many knobs.
Right.
I've never felt so.
Well, hold on the line. Let's see if we can get some listeners to help you out today. All right, Bridget?
Okay.
That's just a tragic end
to
a great story.
It sounded like it was all going so well, and then
he
throws
so
her head back, pushes her to the floor.
I can't believe you guys are laughing at me.
Well, it just sounds like I couldn't believe it happened like that.
Yeah.
No.
All right, hold on a second, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Hold on.
Did you ever wonder if your mom gave dad a job right before she kissed you goodnight?
This can't be real. Bridget, you still there?
I'm still here.
All right, we're going to put you on with Manny. Hey, Manny.
Hey.
Did you just hear that tragic story from Bridget?
That is so wrong. That is so wrong. The guy is wrong. He should have just said what he had to do, and that's it, man.
Yeah.
That's wrong. The girl sounds really nice.
Can't believe he called you.
You asked me. You were wrong for laughing like that.
Well, I'm sorry. It's kind of a funny image it conjures up.
I'm over here crying. I'm telling the guys, yo, listen to this crap, man.
So this isn't what I have to look forward to.
I all guys aren't like that, Bridget.
Nah, you gotta just take.
There's a lot of guys out there that like little whores.
All right, you guys, keep it up.
All right, Manny.
Bye.
Feel so bad for Bridget.
I know.
Gave her the advice and everything, you know?
It was awesome advice.
And
he sounds so sweet and innocent. Who knew you were actually a whore?
Where'd you get the idea of the almond oil on your lips?
Yeah, maybe that was like a trick he assumed that...
Maybe he'd been to like a hooker that did the same thing.
Oh, that's a nice thought.
All right. Bob, you're next. What do you have for Bridget?
Yeah, I just want to know, you know, if we just call you a slut, will you sleep with us?
Thanks, Bob.
Aw.
Come on,
Bob.
Old Dirty.
Oh, so tender, Bridget, like these pork chops I'm frying up right now. Oh, my.
Where'd you steal them, Old Dirty?
Like, yeah. Homeboy was dogging her to hit the ass... And now he got it going, and he got rid of it.
Yeah.
But I don't, you
know. All right, Old Dirty.
I don't get it, man.
I don't get it either.
So you got a bump on your head when he threw you backwards like that?
I do have a bump on my head.
What, but why did he throw you back?
I don't know. I don't know.
Weren't you listening? Because he's convinced.
I know, but.
He's convinced that she's a little slut because she did such a good.
To find out his little angel was deaf at the lips.
Why was he after me that long to do something, then? He was screwed up. Something's wrong. Something's wrong with him.
Yeah, it's him. Hey, Bridget, quickly. You know how you could maybe... I don't even know if you want to get back in his good graces.
No.
Yeah? Well, next time, if that ever happens again, offer him up the back door.
Offer him the hoop.
Yeah, offer him the hoop. The balloon knot.
Wow.
That'll fix it right up.
That's a big move there, kid.
Yeah, the guy will be convinced that she's an innocent girl, Anthony.
She's in porno or something.
She's going to need a lot more than almond oil, kid. Tell you that much.
Some WD-40.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, we know what you're saying.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
Break shit.
Yeah?
I love you.
Listen to you, you pig.
Casey, what's up?
Hey, yous guys.
How are you?
Okay, how you doing?
Yous guys.
Yous guys.
How old are you?
Twice her age.
Oh,
It hurts to say that.
No, that's okay. So you think this is not uncommon, right?
Yeah, I've been in a situation where I was dating a guy for a while, already having sex, and then you get to the part where you're dating for a while, and now you're going to have really good, you'll never forget me for the rest of your life sex.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And then the next day, they're like, so who you been with? So tell me, guys, what's that all about?
Well, we're a little paranoid, you know? We're convinced, you know, you try a new trick or something that you learned it somewhere. Or if you're really good when we first start dating you, we're like, oh, man, this girl's a slut. How many guys has she slept with?
Where did that move come from?
Well, that's the whole point of, like, waiting a little while and then being in a place where it's like, okay, here it comes.
Uh-huh.
So that's not what I expected.
Right. So that did happen to you, though?
Yeah.
And it wrecked the relationship?
Yeah, I wrecked it. I was like, well, screw you.
But Casey, I don't know why we think that way, but we do. If you guys are really good when we first started dating, you were like, man.
Well, I could understand.
The girl has a lot of experience.
But...
Or if you break out a new trick, you know, in the relationship, you're like, wow, where did you learn that one from?
You got to hold back a few things in your repertoire, you know?
Oh, yeah, no, you rent a couple of movies, then you learn a few things.
I wonder if she learned that in Cosmo. Then you go find the latest Cosmo to see if that trick was in there or something. All right, Casey.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bridget, John is saying there's some holes in your story. Let's move on to John. John, what's going on?
Hey, what's up, guys?
It's the one under her nose that got her in trouble, that hole. Huh? Bridget.
What's up, John?
Yo, I think, I don't know, her story don't make sense. That is the funniest thing I ever heard in my life, though. Any guy to do that, you got to get her guy on the phone, because I'm not buying her story. I'm giving it to the guy right now, because that just doesn't make sense at all.
Yeah, we really want to talk to this guy, Bridget.
I don't want to talk to him.
No?
Yeah, because she's full of it. She either bit it off or something. She just doesn't have her story right, one bit.
I don't know. She sounds for real to me.
I don't know. Get the guy on, and then we'll decide, because right now I think she's full of it.
All right, John. You believe her, right, Aunt?
I would like to, yeah. You know.
Bridget, I believe.
Believe me.
I believe you. Andy, what's up?
Yeah, I got some advice for her.
Yeah.
But
maybe next time when you're done, mm-hmm. you shouldn't say this is the way your father likes it.
Oh.
Nice.
Come on, Andy.
And you can't tell me you honestly believe that this girl's telling the truth.
Andy, what are we going to play? Make Bridget...
She's so full of it. Come on.
Hey, Bridget, can we play a game with you?
Sure.
You sure? You can back out, but I want to play Let's See Who Can Make Bridget Cry.
Well, that's going to be really hard.
Really?
Do you want to play it?
What, let's make Bridget cry?
I mean, if we could, like, have a whole bit that revolved around your mom, I think it's okay to play Let's Make Bridget Cry.
I think it might be a little rough to,
I don't know, Bridget.
It's a little whore to cry.
I don't think she is going to cry.
Well, Andy, you tried, and she didn't budge, so.
You know why she ain't crying? Because she's full of it.
All right. Well, thank you, Andy.
All right, take it easy, guys. Right.
How long are you going out with this guy for, Bridget?
Just over a year.
Yeah, kind of grew attached to him.
Yeah.
Kind of made you feel bad when he did that to you?
He's a dick.
Did you feel dirty?
You know what I did afterwards?
What? Brushed your teeth? I hope. Gargled.
I took one of my mom's Valium, and I drank half a bottle of wine that was left.
All right, listen.
I went in the shower.
Yeah.
And I turned it on scalding hot. And I just sat there, and I just cried. I just cried.
You cried and cried.
Kind of like that.
Because you're a little whore.
Kind of like that scene from The Big Chill with Glenn Close in the shower.
I didn't see The Big Chill.
Oh. All right, hold on a second. Do we want to play this game? She seems a little unstable.
Go ahead. Make her cry, man.
No, we want the listeners to play Make Bridget Cry for a prize.
Okay, go ahead.
Do we have wrestling tickets for Raw's War when they do that live at Madison Square Garden? All right, let me clear all the lines. If you want to play Make Bridget Cry, give us a call, 212-757-1027.
Oh, that's horrible.
Well, I asked you guys if you want to play. You said yes.
Yeah, it'll be funny. It's horrible, but funny. Don't get me wrong.
Bridget.
Yeah?
Before we played, I'm going to give you one more chance to back out.
Don't shut up. No, don't back out.
I'm okay.
We're going to take a quick break.
Okay.
If you want to play Make Bridget Cry, give us a call. We'll be back.
Anthony.
1027 WNEW. The Opie and Anthony Show, 1027 WNEW.
The Opie and Anthony Show. I think, Anthony, we've gone too far today.
Why?
On the radio show. Well, we're playing a game called Make Bridget Cry.
Yeah, Bridget had a little trouble on a Hummer Tuesday last night. It was her boyfriend's birthday. She wanted to give him a Hummer for his birthday. She did. It was a beautiful scene as she spelt it out for us. And when her boyfriend finished and she accepted his finishing, he grabbed her head, pushed her away, her head hitting the floor, and said, "I always knew you were a little whore."
And it was the first time she ever gave a Hummer.
Yes.
Bridget, you're still there, right?
I'm still here.
Now, remember, you said you wouldn't mind playing Make Bridget Cry, so...
You sounded like you were getting a little choked up earlier in your conversation talking about your boyfriend and how you're not going to see him again.
Yeah, it shouldn't be hard.
And,
You sure you want to play this? Our listeners could be mean bastards.
That won't make me cry.
All right. Tony!
Yeah?
You're up first. You want to play,
Yeah, I want to play. First of all...
Alright.
I know who this broad is.
Okay.
Her real name isn't Bridget.
All right.
And Tuesday night wasn't her first Hummer. Monday night was. She practiced on me before she was with her boyfriend. That's why he called her a pig. She knows it's the truth. And you know who this is, Bridget. And don't pretend you don't, Bridget.
Tony, I have no idea who you are.
You don't know who this is, huh?
No.
You practiced the almond thing on me.
You wish.
Yeah. No, you know it's the truth. And so does Henry, your real boyfriend. That's why he called you a pig. And he said you were horrible. She knows it, Onay.
Nice try.
She's a pig. Stinking pig.
Well, I don't think it's working, but
okay.
That was pretty brutal.
That was brutal. Brett.
Yo.
What's up?
What's going on, guys?
You're on with Bridget.
Bridget.
Yeah?
What is wrong with you?
With me?
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
Why?
What do you think is going to happen when somebody sticks their penis in you?
What do you mean?
What are you going to do then?
Well, hopefully it'll end
jump
up
off
a little
bridge?
Better.
Huh? Hopefully it's better. The guy smacked you after you perform oral on him.
Yeah.
What's he going to do after he has sex with you? Is he going to beat you around a little bit?
I'm not going to be with him.
Huh?
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think he's working.
Good try, Brett.
Not playing the right angles.
How many seconds do we allow?
We'll just allow. We're the sole judges. We'll cut you off whenever we feel it's not working.
All right, EJ, you're the next contestant in Make Bridget Cry.
What's up, fellas? What's going on?
All right, EJ.
Cool. Hey, Bridget, I was wondering.
Yeah.
Is it because... Are you so upset because... Was it that your mom did a better job than your boyfriend? Or was it... Did you have flashbacks of your father knocking you down after you did him?
Nice.
Okay, this could be wrong.
You got to follow it up, EJ. You ever watch a fight and a fighter gets a good right hook in and he wobbles the guy, but then the fighter backs off and you're like, pound him.
Yeah.
You know, you got to have a follow-up to that shot.
All right, EJ.
All right, fellas.
Thank you.
Later.
All right, let's go to Pat. Pat, you're next.
All right, first of all, the suicide thing. A Valium, two glasses of wine. Quiet, I'm talking. A Valium and two glasses of wine in a hot shower. That sounds like you get ready to go out. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I know. That's what I was saying.
Come on. I mean, and this whole thing, I'll tell you, I think it happened, not in this world, in whatever world you're in. You know, I think this is all cooked up in your fat little head, because I'm sure you weigh at least 300 pounds. You're probably so ugly, no guy would let you hum. I mean, let's be serious here.
Bridget?
Hello?
Not working.
No? You're not as big as Monica Lewinsky?
No.
Let's go to Frankie. Frankie!
Bridget!
Yeah?
How much you charge? I want to know right now. Get on your knees and tell me what you could do. Bridget, let me tell you something. You know you're an expert. You know what you're doing. Tell me what it is. What time I got to pick you up. Let's go out, baby. Touch me.
You guys have sensitive listeners, huh?
What? You're popping Valium sitting in the shower. Come on, honey. I got Valiums. Let's go. Come on, Bridget. I can get you. I know I can.
You think?
I know I can.
Frankie,
I want it right now.
You're running out of time, Frankie.
I got a couple of Valiums. Let's go.
All right, that was it. I don't think anyone's going to get you to cry, Bridget. Dave, you're next.
Yeah, this is your daddy, Bridget.
Hi, Daddy.
Why'd you cheat on me with that boy? You know you're a filthy little pig.
Nice.
You know you're a whore.
Thanks, Dad.
Slammed your head back because you didn't swallow it all. That's why he smacked you. You're only upset because he didn't tie you up and spank the hell out of you like your daddy do.
It's not called Make Bridget Laugh.
Yeah, she's laughing.
I should get a prize for that, shouldn't I?
Jesus. Hey, Bridget.
Yeah?
Hey, when was the last time you did cry?
All night. This morning.
Really?
Yeah.
All sad about your boyfriend and how he treated you.
I loved him.
You loved him? Just to think of when you first got together. Remember that? Everything was all nice and sweet. Did he do nice things for you?
He was so nice.
Yeah. You went out a lot and he got you things and it was all fun. And then last night he just pushed your head away and called you a whore. You're never, ever going to have a good time with him ever again.
I don't want to.
That could have been the last guy the last decent guy you meet. You might have to troll through scum now for years.
Oh my God.
Having different members in your face.
No.
Week after week before you find somebody that's even half as nice as this guy treated you up until he turned on you last night. Yeah. It's hard for a filthy whore to find a boyfriend.
You were really close.
Aha! You almost was there. George, what's up?
Hey, what's up?
All right.
Hey, Bridget.
Yeah?
I feel really sorry for you. You know, you spent a year with this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys shared a lot of good times together.
Mm-hmm.
And then he turns around, and it's like it didn't mean nothing to him all those times you spent together. He just turned around and is like, you're nothing but trash. You're nothing but dirt on my shoe.
It's even and worse that he threw me.
Didn't that feeling just lingers with you? It just doesn't go away, does it?
No.
Every time you just think of him. You think of all those good times. You try to please him. For God's sake, you know? You try to. And you did. You didn't. I don't think you did anything wrong.
For the love of God, I'm going to cry. Come on.
No.
I'm sorry, Bridget, but I don't think you did anything wrong. I think you're a pretty girl inside, and you shouldn't be treated like that, you know, like trash. He just pushed you. It's like, you're nothing. You're nothing to me. You never meant nothing to me.
All right, George. Thank you.
Very
thank
close.
You.
My brother wants to play.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Hey, Darren.
Hey.
You're a cold-hearted F. You want to play?
I am very cold.
All right.
But I mean this with all my heart. Bridget?
Yeah?
This is as good as it gets, babe.
What do you mean?
Does your chin, like, have calluses on it from his banging you? I mean, the whole year you're going out, that's all he's thinking. It's like, when can I use her as a depository for my freaking sperm? Now you're going to go out, you're going to be a slut the rest of your life, you're never going to have a real relationship, because you're going to be all freaking weepy, you're going, ugh, and you're not going to forget this. That taste is never going to leave your mouth and your face, and that's just as good as it gets. So, you know, you're a whore, you're a girl. Get over it. You know?
Thanks, Darren.
Well, life is good for guys and bad for girls, and that's all he wanted from you, and he got it. I applaud him. I'm laughing. I'm like, this is the best. I got to meet this guy and, you know, join the club.
That's great.
So, that's it.
Holy smoke. You got more issues than Opie.
No way. You know what comes out of a guy's member during the day? And here you are gladly accepting. And then he throws you on the floor and that surprises you?
She hung up.
What the heck is going on?
Made her hang up.
My brother wins the contest.
Winner.
Yeah.
We gotta find out how many times they dumped out of my brother's speech there.
I couldn't take it anymore. What is this? Like, make her feel good about herself? Forget it.
I told Jay, man, he's a cold-hearted son of a bitch.
Man.
He's got ice flowing through his veins.
Yeah, I have Sandy over here, too.
Oh, easy. It's going to make you cry.
All right, Sandy.
All right, Darren.
All right, I'll see you later.
All right, man.
Bye.
My brother wins.
Wow.
That was harsh.
That was a little too real sounding coming out of him.
1027, the Opie and Anthony Show. WNEW. Opie, Anthony. 1027, WNEW.
For the sting! For the sting!
Welcome to the Opie and Anthony Show.
Ah.
Toll free, 877-692-1027 is our phone number. Love to hear from you. Who pissed you off this week? You can do that through instant feedback. You can do it through the FU line. Or you could give us a call and personally tell us. 877-692-1027. All right?
Your chance to vent.
I want to vent, Anthony.
What happened?
I'm surprised we're able to prepare for our radio show these days.
Oh.
Now that we're syndicated.
Oh.
Now that we're syndicated, it seems like everyone wants a piece of us.
Yeah. Oh, God, I can't believe some of the stuff we deal with before this program. You would think we'd just, you know, hanging out, talking, maybe going through the newspapers, getting our finger on the pulse of what's going on.
Right.
That would be nice if we got the chance to do that.
Well, see, the salespeople control the Opie and Anthony Show. And if you know anything about radio, that's a no-no.
It's very bad.
Salespeople should never control a radio program. They should work hand-in-hand with a radio program, but they shouldn't control it.
Now, people are probably wondering, how could a sales department control a radio show?
I am here to tell you that the sales department around here controls the Opie and Anthony Show.
Yeah. We're going to have to put like a guillotine in our doorway, that once we're in, we arm it. Anyone else that tries to walk through gets cut in half. Holy Jesus. How many salespeople do
that? Well, the day started with having to hear about whippedcreambikini.com.
Right.
They're not getting enough mentions. They're supplying $1,000 for our wet t-shirt contest. So the salesperson comes in and says, you know, they're just not happy. You haven't mentioned whippedcreambikini.com enough.
Is that what the show should be? We should just stop every so often and say whippedcreambikini.com?
Whippedcreambikini.com.
See, in the context of the show, when we're trying to do things, and the salespeople come in and say, could you say this? How are we going to fit it in while we're trying to do something here? Something fun.
It's not like whippedcreambikini.com gave us $100,000. They gave us $1,000 lousy dollars.
We've shelled out our own money sometimes.
And I could have went to the ATM machine and shelled out $500 each if we knew it was going to be this much of a hassle.
Right.
So they're bitching because
mm-hmm.
they didn't get enough mentions for the $1,000.
Yeah.
Whippedcreambikini.com.
There.
Supplying $1,000. So then we had to deal with that
mm-hmm.
instead of dealing with our radio show today.
Yeah.
And then,
how many times did you say it yesterday?
We said it like two or three times yesterday. That wasn't good enough.
That was the questions Ope's getting today. We're sitting in the office. Of course, I throw myself into a newspaper or the computer or something and just spin my head around like the Exorcist.
I saw you chuckling.
I was laughing, all right?
Because
you're in hell.
I'm a real a-hole, though, when it comes down to it.
How many times did you mention it, Opie?
I don't know, two or three times.
Because I really didn't hear it.
That's the funny part about doing a radio show, too. I got to say this. You know, you try to get feedback on your radio show with the people you work with your listeners,
mm-hmm.
maybe with the programming staff.
Yeah.
Maybe your family members, just to get a feel for, you know, what's working on the show and what's not.
Yeah.
And, of course, you know, if you bump into one of these sales weasels in the hall, you'll ask them.
Right.
I finally realized that... When you ask them, you know, how was the show yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
It is based on whether or not we took care of their client on the radio show.
That's it.
When I'm truly asking, you know, what did you guys think of the cat fighting we did the other day? What did you think about me guessing the age of that 52-year-old lady by just looking at her taint area?
Oh, I got to tell you, man, you did a great read for Sobey Beverages, so you guys rocked yesterday.
Yeah, that's all they care about.
Or we'll do a live read, you know, after like a 20 or 30-minute segment, Anthony.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden the hotline rings and it's a salesperson all excited because we did a great live read for them. Can you make a tape of that? I need that immediately.
How about the rest of the show?
How about the show? The actual show?
Opie and Anthony?
Yeah.
I know you guys, you drink coffee every day before the show. I've been in there and I see that one of the interns goes out and gets everybody coffee.
Yeah.
Can we sell that? Maybe Starbucks would like to, you know, get on board and sell that. As long as you give 8 mentions during the day that you're drinking coffee and that you like it.
They are selling everything.
Guys, you take leaks, right?
Yeah.
We have a urinal cake company that would really like to come on board. How many times did you pee yesterday? Because we could sell that every time.
They want to sponsor What's in My Pants. Now they want to sponsor certain segments of our show.
Right.
It's like, leave us alone. Let us do our show.
Not only are we doing, you know, the live reads and running all the commercials during the show, but now every little aspect of the show they're looking to latch onto.
See, this isn't going to make much sense to the new markets, but we used to play 2 songs to start the show just to get everyone in the mood.
Yeah.
A couple rocking songs, you know.
Yeah.
Get you psyched for the Opie and Anthony show. And one of our guys, Ben, would do, you know, he would pick the songs.
It was like his little 2-song show.
They wanted to sponsor that.
Can
we sponsor the 2 songs that Ben plays before your show?
Anyway. Tuttle checking in on Instant Feedback. What are you kidding? Preparing for your show? Ha, ha, ha.
We prepare. You just wait and see. So but, then Craig comes to me.
Yeah, this is the biggie. This is the fun that we deal with here.
Craig comes to me. See, we have to meet clients.
Yeah.
And most of them are cool. Mm-hmm. You know, they can hang and stuff. But we made an agreement. We'll meet clients from time to time.
Sometimes the people that run these various companies we do live reads for, they come to the station. And we go upstairs and meet with them for a few minutes. And talk about the product, Opie, and how it can fit into our program. And that's all well and fine, because how often did they happen? Once a month, maybe, they'd bring someone in.
Once a month.
Once a month,
once,
I would say.
Once every 3 weeks, tops.
And we would be like, all right, but, you know, it can't be on this day because we got something going on before the show that we got to do. So we were able to pretty much say when we could meet with these people.
Right.
Today.
Today, Craig comes down with the list of clients that we have to meet next week.
A list.
A
next
list.
Next week.
Which would take up every day. And I hope you guys are following this, because this is what the salespeople do. They get a little, and they keep nudging and nudging and nudging and nudging. You know? That's what I mean when I tell you that they could completely control a show at this point.
Now we were to meet with 3 clients.
3.
Next week.
The first, Sobey Beverages.
Now, come on. We've met with Sobey. We love Sobey.
We love the fine folks at Sobey Beverages.
Opie drinks Sobey all the time during the show. We've talked about that.
We have met with the fine folks at Sobey Beverages probably more than once. You know, because they just happen to be wandering the halls with new product and stuff to drop them by. And we say, hey, oh no, they need a new meeting with us because they have a new flavor.
So we were like, look. And if the new flavor is Sobey's new cure for AIDS beverage, we'll meet with him. What the hell? But, I mean, why would he have to meet with him?
I don't know. Do we have to go upstairs and hold their hand? Maybe let them suckle off us?
Send the new flavor. We will drink it, enjoy it, and talk about it on the
air. That's right. Give us some samples, a one sheet, what it does. Boom!
I think a coddling thing.
That'll save us 20 minutes that we could be spending on maybe talking to our new affiliates or working on our show, maybe getting more interesting guests. Oh, no.
They want to snuggle a little bit.
So
they want to canoodle in our conference room with us.
So I'm yelling and screaming at Craig, like, we're not meeting with Sobey Beverages again.
Right.
Like the people from Sobey, but they don't need us to hold their hands.
Right.
Everything is A-OK with Sobey.
Fine.
So I go, what's the next client?
2 left.
He goes, Lifestyle Condoms. I'm like, Why the hell do we have to meet with people that sell condoms?
Condom people.
I think we all know what condoms do.
I think so.
I go, so, Craig, explain to me why we have to meet with Lifestyle Condoms. He goes, well, they want to do a demonstration. A demonstration? Unless that demonstration, is a penthouse pet.
They're going to bring in some chicks.
And me naked. We're not going upstairs to have a meeting with Lifestyle Condoms so they can demonstrate how to use a condom on a cucumber or a banana or something.
All right, guys. We got a couple of girls up here. Now just feel free to, we got some fluff girls, too. They're going to get you started. And we'll roll the Lifestyle Condom on your junk. And now just feel free to plug away at the hookers we brought up here for you.
Right.
All right. This is a demonstration.
Now, see, the demonstration, we're probably going right back to health class.
Right.
And we're
going
to be putting condoms on cucumbers.
If they brought a cucumber or banana, I would be like, oh, come on. We all know what this is. All right. They feel great. There. What do we need? Why meet them?
So we're not meeting with Lifestyle Condoms so they could tell us how a condom works.
I would like a demonstration if they showed you how, during the use of the condom, Lifestyle Condoms are easiest to get your thumb under the rim and pull it off during sex without the girl knowing.
Right.
That would be a good demonstration.
So Craig is getting...
Whop, snap.
So Craig is getting all nervous and sweating. I'm like, look, man, you're just a messenger.
Mm-hmm.
I will take this up with, our boss, Ken Stevens.
Yeah.
When he decides to come back to work. He's been, I don't know, on vacation for about 2.5 weeks. Poor guy, I think we wore him down during contract negotiations.
He hasn't recovered.
He's been MIA for weeks.
Has not recovered.
So.
What was the third product?
The third was for a client from another market.
Yeah.
One of our new affiliates.
Yeah.
Who just happens to be a big fan of the show. I guess he used to live in New York.
Yeah.
And he's going to be advertising on... one of the stations that we're on,
mm-hmm.
in another city. Here's the key to the whole thing. You and I will never hear the commercial, because when the stations go local, they'll just be playing his commercial.
Yeah.
You and I will not even be voicing his commercial.
He just wants to come up and hang out.
Right.
Well, you know something then?
I don't even hang with my own family. I'm not hanging with a client from another city. My brother lives a block and a half away. I don't hang with him. I'm not hanging with a client from another city that we have nothing to do with. He just happens to be a fan. And then finally, someone comes by. I'm trying to protect some of the clients.
Some of the clients?
There's someone coming aboard very soon with a new water product.
Oh. Right.
More oxygen.
It has 8 times more oxygen...
Oxygenated water.
It has 8 times more oxygen, Anthony.
Yeah.
Than this fine bottle of Poland Springs that I hold in my hand right now.
More oxygen, more gooder, right?
I think more oxygen means less water.
Oh, is it more oxygen at the top of the bottle?
How else do you get more oxygen into water? Explain that to me. Man, we are going to be biting our tongue when we do the first live read for this product. But how do you get more oxygen into water?
8 times more would be H16O, right? Are there 16 oxygen atoms in the molecule?
Isn't that ridiculous?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
So that's what we had to deal with today alone, instead of dealing with our show. Yeah, they want to sponsor when we hang up on our listeners.
This hang-up brought to you by Verizon.
Right. Todd, what's going on?
How you doing, guys? Fat Pat here from Kotex. I'd like us to sponsor, hey, what's in my pants today? They could guess the string or what type it is. We could talk about it.
That's a good idea.
That's not a bad idea.
Sponsor Guess What's in My Pants with...
I also would like to plug whipcreamballoonnut.com.
How many times did you mention it yesterday?
Whipcreamballoonnut.com.
All right, very
on
good.
Oh, being Anthony.
Very good, Todd.
Thank you,
thank
sir.
You.
Thanks, guys.
All right,
see
bye. Bye.
You know what we'll do if they keep getting a little, pushy? We'll start connecting their sponsors, all their clients, to events here that they would not ever want to be associated with. How about that, people?
Brian, what's going on? Brian.
That hang up, sponsored by.
We lose him?
All right.
He was bitching. He wants to hear music. Then go find a music station, you douche. Bluto.
Yeah, what's going on, guys?
Summer's Eve. Hey. Remix pre-measured douche.
Your salesman must be creaming their pants right now.
Why?
You are announcing every sponsor in the phone book. Why don't you just open up the phone book, start from A, and read down?
Yeah, might as well.
Yeah. I mean, Jesus Christ. All we're hearing is sponsors.
Yeah, exactly.
You just sponsor a broom handle for the Motley Crue Challenge.
Not a bad idea. If they could, they would sponsor the Motley Crue Challenge.
Yeah.
All right. Take care, guys.
All right, Bluto. We've had it. We've hit our limit, right, Ant? With that?
Yeah.
Lee, what's going on?
Hey, guys. I'm from Philly, and I love your show. It just came on here a couple weeks ago. But, I agree with you with all these sponsors. Don't do all that because you guys have too many commercials as it is.
See, we don't want to turn into another, I'll say it. I don't want to turn into Howard where we take 25 minutes away from the show.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, you got to pay the bill somehow with the commercials, but too many is too many. You know, and I don't want to hear this state or this company and that company for this and that. You know, hey, don't do it.
All right, I hear you, man. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right.
John, what's up?
Hey, listen, if I come up with $1,000 cash, you think I could get you and Anthony to talk nice about me on the radio for about a week?
See, the sales guys would jump on this. Just getting individuals to come in, hand them $1,000, and we have to mention them on the air, Opie.
That's a great idea.
How about if I come up with $1,000 and you talk bad about somebody else?
Just to talk bad about someone else.
That's not bad.
Oh, I'm sure they're running to the phones right now.
All right, John. Thank you. You know how crazy a guy with the salespeople, and we had to squash him down?
Yeah.
Because they, like we said earlier, they run the Opie and Anthony show.
Mm-hmm.
For a short time, Anthony and I were running spots for an escort service.
Yeah, what happened to that? What happened to the escort service? It was only a week?
I'll tell you what happened. Because
I think the run dates were a week. I'm not really...
No, I'll tell you what happened with the escort service. It was under the guise that it's this cute little dating website.
A dating website.
So we went to the website, and oh no, it was a full-blown escort service. So
this is Ashley. She'll be in New York City in 2 weeks.
Right.
Meet her. Go out to dinner. Do anything.
Right.
It was a Hua service.
You could pick if you want an Asian.
Yeah.
A fun African princess.
Uh-huh.
A Jewish girl.
Redheads.
Yeah.
Anything.
So we went on the air and we talked about the escort service, and they quickly stopped advertising on our show.
Oh, boy. Why can't we advertise hookers? Well, pretty much what it was. Who brought that one to the table?
It was funny with the water, though. It's like, oh, look, it has 8 times more oxygen. Taste it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I'm tasting it, and I'm tasting it, and I'm thinking to myself, tastes like water.
Tastes like water. You know your fish tank? It's got the bubble filter in it, and if the bubbles stop, the fish dies. It's because it's constantly pumping, dissolving oxygen into the water. That's all they do. They pump bubbles through it. But hey, who are we to say?
All right.
I'm sure we'll drink it and love it.
We just had
the second they come on board.
We just had to get that off our chest today. Thank you.
23 Skidoo
and EW.
I'll be playing the part of Pharrell,
and we're trying to order food in the restaurant.
Excuse me, waitress, I'd like
Pharrell needs some menu right now. Pharrell's gotta get a menu. He got some TV appetizers. Maybe a soup of the day. I'll tell you what. What's your entree today? You got any specials going? I need food. 100 miles an hour. Here we go. And don't forget the dessert. I'm taking a chocolate milk. Maybe we'll do that. And then an espresso because I need energy. 100 miles an hour.
Sports in the Morning with Pharrell coming up Monday live at 5:45. 1027 WNEW. The Opie and Anthony Show, 1027 WNEW.
Man, Adam Buckman from the Post.
Yeah.
He needs something. He needs to find something to write about.
He did a whole article on the fact that William Shatner farted during an interview.
Yeah, I was looking at that. What is it? There's a video
so much,
out.
There's so much going on in the world, and he felt like he had to take up his space in the Post today talking about Captain Kirk farting.
There's some video out
Wait
there.
Wait a minute. You just talked about choking a goose and Captain Kirk farting disgusts you?
No, yes.
He's writing about it, though.
Oh, okay. There's a video out. It's called the Mind Meld, Secrets Behind the Voyage of a Lifetime. And it's William Shatner and Leonard Nimoy sitting around. They're both 70 years old. Waxing poetic about the Star Trek days, exchanging stories. And apparently, 50 minutes into this, William Shatner is asked about his co-star, Leonard Nimoy, and he just kind of does the one cheek thing and
lets one go.
Out of nowhere, he just lets one go and doesn't miss a beat. And then they just keep going on. But this guy was fascinated by it, I guess. Among other highlights, Nimoy reveals how Star Trek drove him to drink and to a shrink. And Shatner, get this, discloses that he had no idea that other cast members disliked him so intensely. Both men confess that the long hours they worked on Star Trek wrecked their marriages. Hey, Bill, you weren't on Star Trek your whole life.
Yeah, I think banging a green lady kind of wrecked your marriage.
How about a pool wrecked one of them?
I thought the fart was air bubbles from her.
Oh, my God, I can't believe my wife fell in the pool. Let me jet propel myself to her. Look at me go. I'm hitting warp 5.
At his age, he probably didn't even realize he did it. That's why he just kept on going.
Sick. Security detail, phasers on stink, we're going down. I'll get you, you Klingon bastards.
Con!
Oh, that was kind of good. I feel like I have a Genesis device in my pants. I'll show you the trouble with tribbles. Oh, my. Oh, Jesus. Right. I can't believe it. That's one of the most embarrassing moments ever when I went in the turbo lift and the beautiful yeoman Rand came in. I said, "You're a beautiful woman." Okay, drop me off here. Sick bay, I need some antacid. I couldn't help it. I opened a comlink and Opie yelled at me. I lost my faculties. Remember the episode Spock's brain? We found his brain. He had no sense of smell, so he never noticed I was farting the whole way to a little different. I'll show you Harry Mudd.
Admiral Kirk. So, yeah, I guess that that made Adam Buckman laugh a little bit. The fact that he farts in this. And now people will buy it just because he farts, I bet. I got to see it. I was a huge fan of the old series.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll watch it.
Look, my underwear looks like Uhura.
Oh, my.
Wow. Photon torpedoes flying up my butt.
Klingon bastard, kill my son!
Space. My butt, the final frontier. These are the legends of my staff. To boldly go where no man ever wants to go. My buttock!
It's 5-year mission.
We're circling the planet Hemorrhoid.
To seek out
I'm not even going with the Uranus joke. Shut up.
Only go where no man has gone before.
I will now engulf myself in my own cloaking device. A green cloud like SETI Alpha 6.
I guess it is kind of funny.
Bones. I need something for this problem, I think.
Damn it, Jim, you crapped on me. No, it's not Regis, it's Captain Kirk, shut up. Regis would be...
Oh, my God, I can't believe it, Gilbert. I'm farting.
Oh.
Jerry, what's going on?
I'm drinking a Coke, and he says, face is on sink, and I went right through my... That hurts, man.
What happened?
Coke went through your nose?
I'm drinking a Coke, and he says, face is on stink. The thing blew out right all over the dashboard.
Cool.
That hurts.
Got to try to keep that Coke in your nose, all right?
Oh, man. Hey, ask him if Shatner has a glass table.
Yeah, like,
yes.
Like Rocky.
I have to blast off some Klingons. There they go. Like the episode, the Corbomite Maneuver. That's how we cleared out the caves.
The horrible creature. Trying to think of how to make 13 episodes out of that and get a show.
All right, this is for the ladies. Here we go.
Yeah. I made love to you all night long. Then I got up to write you a song. I watched you sleep and I fell in love. You must have been sent from heaven above. Don't think you could never do no wrong. Then you farted. Oh, girl, you farted. First I thought that it was kinda cute. I suppressed a smile when I heard your girly poot. But then the smell came wafting by and brought a little teardrop to my eye. I think that I'll go sleep out on the couch. 'Cause you farted. It can make milk curdle, make your skin crawl, make the paint peel off of the wall. Don't want to sleep under them covers no more since the hot winds blew from out your back door. Baby, it sure has been a gas, but I can't live life for fearing of your ass. So I gathered up my clothes and my old dog Bill, moved back to my house at the top of the hill. Well, oh boy, I guess it's just you and me. Then he farted.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
OP Anthony 1027. WNEW 1027. The Open Anthony Show. WNEW.
So it's Ant,
hey.
And it's Adam Ferrar sitting in on the program today.
Sure.
Anthony on the line. We got this Rick guy with the strange and wild story. All right.
Yeah. Let's hear this.
Hey, Rick. Yeah. It's Opie and Anthony and Adam Ferrar. How are you today?
How you guys doing?
Hey, what's up, man?
Hey, Rick.
We obviously got you live on the radio here in New York City.
Yes, I am.
And I hear you got a very unusual story to tell.
Yeah, it's a little different.
All right.
Definitely a little different.
Well, I guess it goes back to 1979. You met this girl, right?
Yeah, I met this girl. Actually, she met me.
Uh-huh.
She had seen me, you know, around town and liked me because I was a large guy anyway. I was 6'4", 240.
6'4", 240 back in 1979.
Big right. guy.
Just out of high school, 4 years of football, all that good stuff.
All right, and 20 years later, how much do you weigh?
Right now, I'm 5'37". I topped out in 1989 at about 850.
Sell!
Yeah, get rid of it all.
And obviously, this girl had something to do with your drastic weight gain.
Yeah, she did, very much so. She had a fetish of what I'm finding out seems to be what is called these feeder people or whatever. And she sexually got stimulated whenever she would watch me eat food.
Wow.
Yeah, it was to the point of where I could sit down, eat a piece of cake after dinner or something like that, and she would just be all excited, and I would just have to finish the job.
Was she a big girl?
She was a whopping 98 pounds.
Oh, my God. So she's a rail.
Soaking wet.
Wow.
You guys made the number 10 when you stood next to each other, huh?
Just about. Well, yeah, later on.
All right. So did you know she had this fetish when you met her?
No, I had no idea.
No clue. So what was your first clue?
Yeah, how long did it take?
Right.
Well, my first clue of it really getting to the point of, oh, my God, what the hell am I going to do with this, was I had gotten in a little trouble with some marijuana before I had met her.
Sure. Weed.
That's how it starts. That's what makes you hungry.
Grass,
well, weed.
Part of it, but hey, it was California in the 70s.
Mary Jane. Before you know it, you're doing Benny's, Dexie's.
Yeah.
I bet you think you're pretty cool and far out, don't you?
The next step is Entenmann's cake, then you're moving the bed into the kitchen.
Then we just started sleeping in a grocery store.
All right, so tell us the first clue. Go ahead. You said you got in trouble for drugs, right?
I got sentenced to a couple of months in jail, L.A. County Jail.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out that she had gone to the judge, I believe the one that sentenced me, mm-hmm. and told him that her mental state, welfare, and all that good stuff was dependent upon the fact that I stayed large. I was up to about 350, maybe 400 at this time.
Right.
And she was afraid of going in there eating that sort of food. I was going to lose a lot of weight.
Mm-hmm.
This judge gave a court order to her that ordered me to receive double portions of food inside the jail.
Come on.
Yeah, that's the Oprah bill.
I swear, it's documented court documents to prove it all.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
So you're in jail for a while.
Yes.
And you're still packing on pounds.
No, because I just refuse to do it. I'm not stupid. It's, the food was crap, so mm-hmm. you're not going to eat double portions of crap.
So now how was she getting...
Were there any other inmates that liked to watch you eat?
Bubba.
His name was No.
So how'd she get turned on if you're in jail?
Oh, she didn't. Actually, there was a couple of incidences where she would come to the... visiting room.
Yeah,
she had arranged for a private visit, which was still through the glass.
Right.
And I would sit there, and I had eaten, I had saved a couple candy bars that I had bought at the store. And I sat there and ate them on one side of the glass,
right.
And she was in a tall overcoat doing her thing.
God, let me ask you something. Were the guards like that scene in Goodfellas? Come right this way. Come right in. Don't worry. Sign right in here. Come this way, Mrs. Hill. It's the girl with the coat. Come on. Come this way. Wow. You must
this
have been
only
the king
did happen
after
one
that.
Time.
Oh.
That only happened once in jail?
Yeah, that did only happen once.
All right. So after you got out of jail, what happened when you guys were living together and stuff?
Well, you know, it seemed like she got more of a fever pitch for this whole thing. It was like she doubled her efforts to... make me large. And I was caught in the trap of where I was doing what I wanted, eating good food and having great sex.
Well, how turned on would she get as she watched you eat?
All I could tell you is you just had to watch it. I mean, you just had to see it. It was to where moisture, you know, I mean, I don't know what other way to put it.
That's so she was like, really turned on.
Oh, wow. Yes.
And what was she like, a dynamo? Like, really?
She was a little 98-pound person. You spin her like a helicopter. You know, spin her like a top.
Would she scream out foods in the middle of her orgasms?
Really? You know, it never got to the 9.5 weeks kind of thing.
Right.
I kind of wish it did once in a while. But, no, it did never go that way. It was never that kind of food thing.
Did you play, like, airplanes coming in for a landing? Did you do, like, stuff like that?
No, because I would have been the spruce goose and I'd have probably crashed.
A Howard Hughes reference.
Whoa, bravo.
How good are you? Take a couple of donuts out of petty cash.
Okay. No, I'm over those.
So when did you decide you had enough?
Well, it was 1989. I had maxed out at about 850. Sex had stopped about 300 pounds ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Gave up on you?
That just, it just goes away. You're not able to.
Well, she couldn't find it.
Yeah, it doesn't function anymore.
Really?
It functions in one capacity, and that's to urinate. That's it.
Oh, you couldn't sport no chubs?
Well, you can, but not to where it was any use. You know, it was just, it was too well covered up.
I'm dead sexy.
Did you lay there?
Look at my sexy body.
No, you wouldn't be saying that looking in my mirror. Yeah. No.
Wow.
So the sex ended and you decided to get rid of this one, huh?
Well, she was cheating on me with a neighbor upstairs, a normal-sized guy. So at that point...
Well, that's how we started out.
Yeah.
That was it. Goodbye. Yeah, well, that's how it starts, sure.
It's like a Stephen King character or something. It just goes around, making guys big, fat pigs and then ditching them.
Wow. Well, you know what, dudes? I'll tell you something. She did this to a guy after me. There was another guy. I ran across her like 3-4 years later. I had gotten down to about 600 pounds. I was getting around.
Mm-hmm.
And I came across her again, and there she was. She had met a guy. He was about 200 when he met her at that time, and he was probably at about 6.
Oh, man.
Is that something?
This chick had a fetish, and she didn't mind going for what she wanted.
Is it also true that you got abusive when you decided you didn't want to eat as much?
Oh, yeah. You know, if there was any time that I didn't completely finish the, you know, half a pack of hot dogs that she'd make with buns and you know, a big bag of Lay's chips and a half a gallon ice cream. One time in particular, I left two hot dog buns, the very ends, okay, sitting on the plate. She came home from whatever she was out doing, probably shopping for more, and she saw these two hot dog buns on the end of the plate. Right. She goes, "What's that?" And I go, "Well, I was done. You know, I had, you know, I have 3 pounds of other food. I don't need those."
Right.
And she just walked past me, behind me a little bit, grabbed this cane out of the closet or whatever, and next thing I knew, I was getting whacked over the back of the head with it.
Ooh. Wow.
Yeah.
What a kook.
At that point, I was about 800 pounds, and for people listening, you don't, you know, I mean, sure, I could have grabbed her, broke her like a twig, then I'm in prison for life.
Right,
what,
yeah.
What good does that do me? Okay? At 850, you don't just get out and hail a taxi.
Right.
Okay?
Wow.
That's what I was
in. This is a Stephen King novel.
Eat it! Eat it! Look at that.
Yeah, hey, if you have his number, have him get a hold of me.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I've never heard of that before. That's
and
something.
And where is she now?
She lives in California out here somewhere. I have no idea.
She's out there with a short skirt and a bundt cake.
Yeah.
How did this end up ending?
Well, my story hasn't ended yet. We just split up. It was to the point where, hey, look, we're just done.
Right.
She was in agreement, and we just split up.
Wow.
I got on my own. I started eating naturally. I wasn't naturally a 12 hot dog for lunch guy.
Right.
Okay. I just started eating normally, you know, and I dropped down to what I am now. I've actually been lower, less than what I am now, but mm-hmm. I'm not because of the yo-yo diet thing. I'm at a point.
Did people you knew just say, "Hey, dude, what's happening to you? You're blown
up." Oh, sure.
Up.
Oh my God, I had friends, my parents, my mother, but the whole thing was so controlled by her that, understand this, anytime she left the house, all the phones were gone. I had no way of communicating.
Oh, God.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
I cut you off.
It's the flip side of abuse. You know, instead of the man abusing the woman, it was the woman abusing a man in a very bizarre way.
I understand.
Wow, man.
There's a couple notes that our producer wrote down. There's a car story.
A car story.
Air conditioning went nuts.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
She made you eat a Buick?
Yeah, she was so... No, I never did that. She would get so upset. I was just telling your producer about one time where wherever we went anywhere, like one, I remember one hot summer day I had to go to the doctor's office. I was in the car, and it was sweat. Anytime that I sweated, it was... You know, she would make every effort to keep me as cool as possible.
Yeah, you'd lose weight if you sweat.
Exactly. You sweat, that was her whole theory. You lose weight. Oh, I always had, you know, whatever to drink, the air conditioner on full. Anytime she would get out, go in the store, the engine, she'd leave it running, so the air conditioner would be on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one time the engine was overheating, and I had to turn it off.
Yeah.
And she was still in there about another 15 minutes. I rolled down the windows, and I'm sweating. She comes out just freaking. I mean, dude, she's all over the place. Run around a car. What are you doing? She actually picked up a magazine and started fanning me. What are you doing? What are you, nuts?
This is like misery.
If it starts, we can go home. If it don't start, I'm going to sweat another 10 pounds off.
Why do you
drink your sweat?
Why do you put up with this?
Drink your sweat.
Rick, why do you put up with this?
Well, you know, it was...
I did it all for the nookie. Come on, the nookie. So you can take that donut and stick it up your ass.
Yeah, well, it wasn't that bad. It wasn't that bad. Come on.
Wow.
It was a matter of where I was brought up.
Oh, yeah,
it
wasn't
up.
That bad.
Yeah, so. I mean, the poor guy, he was a turtle on his back. What's he going to do? He's 800 pounds.
Yeah.
He's beating him with a cane.
Yeah.
Anything else you could add to this, Rick?
I'm on my way to the road to recovery. Right now, I'm down to 537.
Right.
And I'm getting ready to have the Phobie pouch surgery.
Right.
Which is the same one that Roseanne Barr had done.
Sure.
Wow.
And it's just a fantastic thing. I never wanted to mutilate my body to take care of my problem, but I've gotten to the point where I'm 41 years old, and that's it. I got to do something.
Did you're in any relationship now or anything?
No, no relationships out there. You know, in California, this is where all the pretty people live. And if you don't fit into that category, you know, forget about it.
Sal, what's up?
It sounds like maybe his wife grew up in the Midwest and her father raised veal.
What's the name of this fetish she had, Rick?
Well, I believe it was, I mean, I never knew there was one, but I've had the people contact me saying it's the feeders.
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 Feeders. Feeders. That's the name of the book.
Stephen really? King's latest novel, oh. Feeders.
Based on the novel Eat, Beat, and Bang.
Oh, man.
Very nice.
Was right. she really hot? And,
like, yeah.
She looked just a lot like Marlo Thomas of That Girl.
Oh, really?
Same. She was... When I met her, that's what she looked like, very much so.
Wow.
Big brown eyes. She was a model.
Well, cool story.
Well, she wasn't ugly.
That's the best story of the day, I'll tell you right now, Rick.
Yeah. Well, you know, unfortunately it happened to me, but hey.
Can we send you some food or anything?
No, thanks.
All right.
No, thanks. I don't think he needs that.
I just do have a website that people can go check out and see, read more details, see pictures of me, stuff like that.
Any pictures of her on there?
No, no pictures of her.
Oh, you ought to pop one up.
Yeah. I don't want to get in trouble.
You won't get in trouble.
What's she going to do? Get you fat and beat you? She already did that.
Email us a picture of her.
No, Double Jeopardy.
Yeah, send us a picture.
Yeah, I want to see what this...
a picture? Oh, yeah, that'll be great.
Well, we want to check it out. Like.
Yeah,
it'll be posted all over New York in about 2 hours.
Oh, no, we don't even have access to a website.
Yeah, we don't have websites or anything.
Actually, my story will be out in the National Enquirer probably in within about 2 weeks.
Okay. Really?
That okay. will have a picture of her because back in 88... she entered us in a contest where it was the Enquirer has these weird contests. It was the married
4-H?
With the largest weight differential.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we blew them away, won a measly $500 or something, and they came out, took a bunch of pictures.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so they
have pictures of him and her, me and her before.
Well, then I guess we'll see her picture there.
Yeah, you will see her, definitely.
All right, Rick, give out your website address here.
It's www.intotheweb.com.
Intotheweb.com.
Yeah, it's just all kinds of stuff, message boards. You guys can just go check it out and see pictures of what I look like at 8:50.
All right, it better not be a paid site because we get pissed off of that.
Dude, it's all free.
All right, cool.
I don't believe in that.
If it was a paid site, we'd come over there and beat you with a cane or something. Shove a ham sandwich up your ass and beat you up.
Are you the comedian on the show?
No.
There's
trust
no comedians
me.
Here.
No, they're
very serious.
All right, Rick, thank you.
Good luck,
you guys,
man.
Have a good one, man.
All right, bye.
Take care.
There he goes, Rick and his unusual fetish.
Wow.
The Opie and Anthony Show, 1027 WNEW and EW.